is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy, touch to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
We are coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. The dust has settled, I think it's fair to say. John Murphy and Donald Jones here as the Bills get ready for the Los Angeles Chargers. I think it's fair to say the dust has settled from yesterday's fun, don't you think?
I think so. I think the dust has settled. I think, I got a lot of questions all throughout the – I was in the store. Somebody recognizing, what do you think about it? I'm like, I don't know. I think the same thing you think probably.
There's a lot of things to think, you know. There's a lot of things to think about Tyrod, things to think about Peterman, about the direction of the franchise and long-term interest versus short-term interest. It's I was thinking today, this season, I mean, what do we got, 7 games left? Mm-hmm. I was thinking this morning, maybe it's because, I don't know why, this season is exhausting as far as the stuff that's going on. Don't you feel that way? Don't you feel like – you almost can't keep up with the changes and the moves and the dramatic, bold moves that they've made. I'm exhausted. I need another bye week.
Now, here's a question that goes into Steve Tasker's 2 bye weeks.
Yeah.
What season has been more exhausting, this one or last year?
This one.
This one? Really?
Yes.
Because of the moves and things?
Yes.
Last year, it was like we had so many times where it was like, you know, 10 guys on the field, 11 guys, 12 guys.
Now,
that stuff is exhausting as well.
Yeah, it was maddening last year. It drove you crazy. But this year, you know, I get the sense, I just don't feel as we approach, game 10 for the Bills, I feel like I don't know who they are. You know what I mean? Because they change. Because they go into training camp with one team and come out of training camp with another team.
Mm-hmm.
And they start the season and you know, lose a couple, win a few, get off to a pretty good start. Then the trade deadline approaches, and they become another team again.
Right.
And now they switch quarterbacks going into the middle of November. That's what I mean by exhausting. It's hard to keep up. And every time I won't speak for anyone else, but every time I think I got a handle on who they are and what they're about, it changes.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, it was so quiet.
Yeah,
it was all
camp.
Good just a week ago. That's a quote from Jay-Z. I had to drop that one on you. It was so quiet in the beginning of training camp, and then all of a sudden, boom, you get the one big trade, and then you had the whole Anquan Boldin thing that happened, you know, and then it's just been move after move after move, you know, and it's like, wow, they're not afraid to make moves, and I think it's always going to be that way, and it's not always like big sometimes it is big splashy moves, you know, but I don't think it's ever going to stop, not this year, not next year. Like, I don't know if they'll ever really – I guess there might come a point where they settle in on, like, their core guys, and those guys will be here. But right now, they are truly in a transition period while they're trying to win right now. You know, so they're in a transition period of guys on the roster. Now you made the move at quarterback, you know. This is how it's going to be here in Buffalo for a while, at least while these guys are here. And hopefully they're here for a long time, you know. So I don't know if you're ever going to have a season that's just – calm, cool, and collected.
I don't need calm, but I just need a sense of who they are, and it's hard to do that when the landscape changes every couple of weeks. You know, it's a different team every couple of weeks.
It is a different team.
It's crazy.
You got a different guy coming in and making plays, and it's like, all right, well, now maybe you found your answer, and then all of a sudden he's gone.
Yeah.
And you got a different guy coming in and making plays, and oh, now they found the answer. Then all of a sudden you bring in Kelvin Benjamin. Well, now we got a number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't really get the ball in the game, and now you switch quarterbacks. And now it's like a whole nother story headline that we have going into this game. So maybe there's just that's the trend, the new headline every week.
All right. The one thing is, and I'm not going to complain about this, Donald, it is good for the show, right? It's good for the show when we have that much upheaval, that much change. And certainly yesterday was fun and interesting trying to keep up with what was going on and hearing from Tyrod Taylor live on the show and hearing from Nathan Peterman, getting him on set, mm-hmm. hearing from other players about Nathan Peterman. It is good for the show to have that much change, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first time this year we've had the starting quarterback on the show.
yeah. Maybe we should try for the backup.
Maybe, yeah.
That was a good one. All right, so here we are, and there's still dust settled. Bill's getting ready to go out on the practice field any minute now. We're going to go out there live with Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. We have a good show coming up for you today. Chris Brown, as we said, moments away as he joins us from practice. We've got issues after the quarterback switch yesterday. And at 12:30 today, we're going to start, maybe even sooner than that, we're going to start diving into some of those issues. Who benefits? Who loses in this deal? What does it mean? We've got obviously some observations about that, and you would have some questions about that as well, I would think. 1 o'clock, our buddy Ruben Brown is here to calm everything down.
Not on the bike today.
No.
Yeah, he's going to be in the truck. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to talk to him about, you know, linemen now. And first of all, is it easier to block for a guy like Peterman over a guy like Tyrod? What is it like to block for a quarterback that gets the ball out of his hands quickly? You know, now he was in Chicago with Jay Cutler, which is a whole nother ball game,
yep.
You know. But he was also here under some quarterbacks, you know, that played a little bit different. So, you know, he's played under a couple of different quarterbacks. What's it like to play for a guy where you, at least you know where he's going to be in the pocket, you know he's getting the ball out of his hands quickly?
Yeah. I think Ruben will bring some – in his own quirky way, Ruben will – settle things down a little bit, don't you think?
He's probably chill. Will, yeah.
He's pretty mellow. Yeah. He's pretty in his own
in his own way. In his own way. Like, he's mellow, but then he'll say things that can stir up the pot,
yeah.
You know, at the same time. But he's doing it while he's mellow, and he says it real calm. And you're like, yeah. Wait, what'd you just say?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you got to listen. Ruben will be here at 1 o'clock. 1:30, you're going to take us through some, it's not exactly nuts and bolts, but what he does well, getting the ball out, right?
Yeah, get the ball out. Just going to look at some of his plays from the last game. We actually have 4 plays we're going to talk about from the last game and just show how he gets the ball out. And there are some good and bad. You know, there were some good and bad. And we're going to talk about it and break it down a little bit.
That's coming up later today. And then after practice, 1:45, 2 o'clock, Jordan Matthews, Bill's receiver, will give us his thoughts on the quarterback switch and where the offense goes from here. We hope to hear from Nick Hardwick. We had to put him off yesterday because of all the upheaval. Nick Hardwick is a former longtime Chargers center who's now part of their broadcast team. He's going to join us from the West Coast, we believe, coming up today at about 2:30 or so. And, of course, your input is entirely welcome. The phone lines are always open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter. We do have a Twitter poll that sort of tees us up and gets us ready for the rest of the show, and it is about the quarterback change, now 24, 27 hours old. What do you think is the biggest effect of the decision yesterday to change quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, the change from Tyrod Taylor to Nathan Peterman? What is the biggest effect, and how will it affect the Buffalo Bills, short-term, long-term, whatever you think? That's our topic of discussion. That's our Twitter poll. What's the biggest effect of the quarterback change to Nate Peterman? Right now, 46% of you believe it allows the Bills to get a long look. You would think maybe a 7-game look at Nathan Peterman and see if, in fact, he is someone you want to build around in the future or keep around in the future. Not too far behind, 39% of you say it should lead to a more functional offense for the Buffalo Bills. 8% of you think it improves the Bills' playoff chances. 7% of you have something else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What's the biggest effect of the Bills' quarterback change to Nathan Peterman? All of these, you could argue, are going to be effects, right? They'll get a chance to look at Peterman. They'll get a chance to have a more functional offense. Maybe some believe it'll improve their playoff chances. Some might believe it will, worsen their playoff chances. But we're looking for you to select the number one effect. Now, I want to get to that playoff chances thing, and I don't want to pigeonhole you, but I'm trying to I detect yesterday that you think I'm not saying that would be your number one choice.
Right.
But do you think the change to Peterman could enhance the Bills' chances to make the playoffs this year?
This year.
Really?
I think it enhances their chances of making the playoffs this year because the simple fact of your offense was not functional over the past couple of weeks. And I think that now the defense did not play well. But I think because your offense was going three and out every series, three and out, three and out, three and out, your defense has to come back out on the field. They haven't even had a chance to get a drink of water yet. They're still trying to sit down and just warm up for a second. It's like, oh, we got to go back out there on the field, you know. So as bad as they played, being on the field, you know, series after series after series, back to back to back like that wears down on your defense. And so because your offense wasn't able to throw it or run it, really for the last – I mean, they haven't really gotten going all year like that,
right.
You know, on a consistent basis.
Right.
So because of that, I think now you have a quarterback that will get the ball out of his hands. And that's really all we know about him. He gets the ball out of his hands. If he's getting it to those receivers and completing passes, at least you now have a threat of a normal passing game, and that will allow for you to run the ball because defenses have to worry about these wide receivers that you're getting the ball all around the field to, you know? And so I think if that offense can score some points, you have a better chance at making it to the playoffs. Now, in terms of the Twitter poll, I think I would have to go with both of those, right? So for me, it would be a functional offense now. You'd have a functional offense, which gives you a better chance at going to the playoffs. So my first would be a functional offense. Second would be a better chance of going to the playoffs. Third would be a long look at Peterman for the future of this franchise.
All right, there's a lot to pull apart here, and we're going to do that with you, with Donald. I'll let you know what I think about that. But the Bills are practicing as we speak, and they're practicing indoors in the Ad Pro Sports Training Center on the other side of the wall. And our man Chris Brown is standing by right now. Chris, how's Nathan Peterman look so far today?
He's getting loose. He's working with the ones. And, you know, it's very evident to me that, you know, they're going over a lot of the portions of the game plan through walkthrough, pre-practice, stretching now. But there's a lot of give and take between him and Rick Dennison between the plays that they are walking through as I'm out here before, you know, they get into stretch.
What? Let me let you weigh in on our Twitter poll, Chris, and I have a feeling I think I know where you're going to answer for this. Mm-hmm. But what's the biggest effect of the quarterback change now that we've had 24, 27 hours to digest? Is it a more functional offense? Does it enhance their playoff chances? Does it give them a chance to get a longer look at Nathan Peterman? If you had to isolate one of those, what would you say?
It's function. You know, I think as we talked about a little bit yesterday, the single greatest attribute of Nate Peterman's skill set is his ability to get the ball out on time. He's a rhythm passer. And for a timing-based offense, that's critical in terms of making the offense functional again. And I think that's job one for Nate Peterman as quarterback of this football team now when he takes the team or the offense out on Sunday. Make the offense functional from a timing perspective on throwing plays, and that in turn should keep the team, provided execution is sound, in manageable down and distance situations. I also think his rhythmic passing will help give the receivers a greater opportunity to make yards after the catch, something that is noticeably absent when Tyrod is in there throwing the football. Sometimes he's late on his read, late in delivering the ball, and the receiver only has time to make the catch before coverage arrives and a tackle is made. So I think we need to also look at that also going into this game Sunday. Not only can he make more positive plays, stringing them together back-to-back, but is he giving the receivers opportunity to make plays after the catch and get additional yardage?
Chris, how much do you think, and we're talking about this Twitter poll, one of our answers on our Twitter poll was obviously a longer look at Peterman for the future. How much of that plays into that decision yesterday? And is that really, do you think that's really on their mind right now?
I really think that's just gravy with the decision that was made. It's an extra benefit that you get more looks at him in regular season games, live action. So, you know, it's a situation where it's a guy that's going to get valuable snaps, valuable experience. But this team's 5-4. They're in the sixth playoff spot in the AFC. Sean McDermott doesn't make this move unless he genuinely believes that Peterman can execute this offense better than Tyrod Taylor right now. He's obviously convinced of that, and it's not because of, you know, the series that he got in last week's game. It's because of what he has shown in practice, the progress he has made, whether it's running the scout team, getting the few reps that he gets against, you know, the number one defense, whatever it is, his progression through the course of practice over these first 10 weeks of the season has helped to convince Coach McDermott that he can execute this offense more efficiently than Tyrod Taylor right now. And that is what this offense needs more than anything, efficiency.
We're with Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. He's out in the Ed Pro Sports Training Center, indoors, I should say, at practice as the Bills loosen up, get ready for today's workout. Hey, Chris, you've probably bumped into this over the last 24 hours. I have, doing a couple of radio interviews out of town and watching national media. The narrative that the switch makes the Bills offense more functional, as you put it, that doesn't resonate anywhere except Buffalo. You know what I mean? The national narrative is either, A, the Bills don't know what they're doing, or same old Bills floundering around with the quarterback question. I think that's a disservice to those of us who follow the team, and I'm including fans in that group. Don't you?
Well, I'll fire back. The national media just doesn't know.
They're not here. That's what I'm saying.
All they're reading are headlines. If they're smart and, you know, they know what they're doing, they're listening to your show or they're reading our stuff on BuffaloBills.com, then they would be informed. But they're not, so they aren't. You know, I can't help them and force them to, you know, follow the local coverage that happens here. If they did, they'd probably know better. But like I said, they're not doing that. They're just spouting out opinions based on the highlights they see every weekend and based on what some so-called experts say. You know, you want to root your opinion and your conclusions on that. Well, that's your prerogative, but you're going to be terribly misinformed.
Hey, Chris, yesterday I posed this question to you, and you hadn't had a chance to speak to any of the players about this decision. But have you had a chance to speak to any of the other players on the team about the decision now, 24 hours later?
Yeah, and actually I just put a story up this morning on BuffaloBills.com about that. When Kelvin Benjamin came here, I kind of polled the locker room as to what they feel he's going to bring to the offense. And we wrote that story about Benjamin last week, talking to some of the people who knew him best, some of his former Carolina teammates, Deontay Thompson, who's a childhood friend of his growing up in the same town down in Florida. This week I did the same thing with respect to Peterman and some of the guys that know him the best, whether it was Zay Jones, who's been around him since the Senior Bowl this past January, or a couple other guys that have some time on the field with him. And the large, the nuts and bolts of it is they feel that he is an accurate, rhythmic passer. And they think that among his greatest qualities, it's getting the ball out quick. The most interesting one that I heard came from Zay Jones, who said if he's underrated in any area of his game, it's that he's more mobile than he's given credit for. And I think that's going to be interesting. I think more often than not, he's going to be able to get the ball out before this very vaunted Chargers pass rush arrives on the scene. But if, in fact, it does, if there's a lane to take, he does have escapability. And I think that's one thing that he is not given credit for that kind of came up. But it's on BuffaloBills.com right now. It's called The Bills Take on Peterman. So, fans want to check that out, be sure to do that. It's a first-person account from some of the guys in the locker room who have been around him, just what he's going to bring to this offense.
On the mobility issue, Chris, I do recall a couple of times during preseason games this year when Peterman was playing and he would take off and run, and I recall saying to my broadcast partner, Mark Kelso, well, he's not supposed to be the guy who runs, but he did move around pretty well. I saw that a couple of times in preseason. Hey, one more thing on the past associations with Nathan Peterman. I was surprised to learn, and you unearthed this, and actually I heard Peterman say in the locker room, I was standing right there Sunday after the game, postgame, and he said he threw with Kelvin Benjamin in the offseason, and I thought to myself, what's he talking about? Kelvin Benjamin wasn't here. But it turns out they did work out together in the offseason. They did pitch and catch during the offseason, right?
That's right, yeah. Back in the spring and the late winter months, they were working at the same training facility. And so, you know, they try to put players on the offensive side of the ball together. You know, receivers want to get reps with a quarterback throwing to them. And actually, obviously a quarterback, you know, wants to get his reps in, you know, in terms of throwing and timing, especially Peterman, who knew he was going to the combine and would have to perform those drills. So Benjamin and Peterman were in the same workout facility in the offseason prior to the draft, prior to OTAs and all of that. So they're not completely foreign to one another. And Benjamin even admitted in last week's game when Peterman came on the field that it helped a little bit. So hopefully that continues to pay dividends. And Zay Jones just the same, who, you know, was on the same Senior Bowl team with him back in January and obviously has seen a lot of reps with him here through the course of the spring and summer.
And now, as you talk about Zay Jones, yesterday he was a full participant in practice. How's he looking out there?
Right. Moving well. Talked to him yesterday. He said he's optimistic. He credited the athletic training staff here for helping him get his legs back underneath him, because that's the biggest thing. And, you know, I don't have to tell you this, Donald, but for the listeners, you know, when a receiver takes a week or two off and is just not doing all the same football-related things that you do through the course of a practice week, and more importantly, in the grind of a game, you don't feel as in tune, as tight, as ready, but he credited the training staff with doing as much as possible to make him feel he was going through some of the same paces that he would in preparation for a game during the course of the practice week, and that's why he's optimistic that he's going to be ready after missing last week's game. I should also mention, no Richie Incognito out here today. I don't believe it's injury-related. He did get last Thursday off, so I don't know if this is going to become a weekly thing. We'll have to see. We'll ask Coach after practice today to see just where that is at, because he told us last week he finally felt 100% recovered from the ankle injury that he suffered a few weeks ago. And no Mike Tolbert today. It's not looking good for him with that hamstring injury concerning Sunday, which means Travaris Cadet could have a much larger role coming into this game, only 2 weeks with the club.
With Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. He is inside the AdPro Sports Training Center for Bills practice today. All right, so what about Travaris Cadet? What do you know about him? What do you see from him, Chris? How might he be able to fit in and spell LeSean McCoy, do you think?
Well, I think that is the thing that he does probably better than Mike Tolbert. He has a much more similar skill set to McCoy than Tolbert does. You know, if you need short yardage, if you're in a short yardage situation, you can just hand it to Pat DeMarco, and he can handle that for you. But as far as giving Shady a rest, I think Travaris Cadet can step in and fill the same role. Cadet's career is an interesting one. All seven of his touchdowns have been via receptions, and he is a very good receiver out of the backfield. So if that's a part of the game plan this week, it's certainly something that he can participate and contribute in. I think if there's something that we don't yet know, it is on third down, can you put him on the field because he knows all of Buffalo's protections? I think protections are the thing that Coach Skipper, who you see on screen now, and Coach McDermott and obviously offensive coordinator Coach Dennison have to feel he has a firm grasp of before they're going to stick him on the field in a third down situation to maybe give LeSean McCoy a break.
Hey, Chris, I want to get back to Peterman for a second. And the reason I'm getting back to him is, and I know your answer to this is really foolish that we even have to talk about this.
But this I like the setup to this.
I've gotten a lot of tweets about this, you know, and it's the fact that people believe that they're putting in Nate Peterman this week because Anthony Lynn knows Tyrod Taylor and Anthony Lynn knows how to shut him down.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no on that. yeah, I mean, so it, really what it is, guys, is, you know, there again, it's functionality offense. You want to take it a step further and talk Chargers-Bills matchup? Okay, I'll do that. I think with the pass rush that the Chargers bring to the table, which is the second-best pass rush in the league, with Bosa and Ingram, the two primary players, I don't think there are going to be a lot of escape lanes for Tyrod Taylor with respect to the pass rush, because they do a good job of forcing their defensive tackles to collapse the pocket up the middle, and then the Chargers mix their edge pass rush in terms of getting aggressively up the field and then holding and not coming out and around and over the top. Sometimes their pass rushers will hold and then try to win with an inside move, but they do against mobile quarterbacks try to hem that player in. And so I think some of what we saw last week in terms of the approach the Saints took would have been carbon copy this week from a pass rush perspective. I think with Peterman's ability to get the ball out quicker, he neutralizes that as a potential game plan this week. So if you want to take it a step further as to why the decision was made, Peterman probably a better fit for the strengths that the Chargers' defensive front can bring to the table.
And, Chris, I'll be honest, I'm not going to say I laid awake in bed last night thinking about this, but I was thinking about Tyrod and what went wrong for him here. And as far as this season, the strategy you talk about that the Chargers probably would have employed, that the Saints certainly did, the Jets did it. I go all the way back to the Bengals game back on, what was that, October 8th, I believe, when those two long-arm defensive ends didn't rush the passer, didn't rush Tyrod. They contained him and left him with no options to get outside. I think that, you know, when people talk about, well, they figured out Tyrod Taylor, I mean, other teams have done this in the past too, but that's the strategy that it seemed teams were ready to employ on an almost weekly basis to handle Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, and if you remember, they batted down passes too,
yep,
all three of those teams. And that's not something that should be dismissed either. I mean, Tyrod even got passes tipped going out to the flat. So, you know, as I see it, not that Peterman is tremendously taller. I think he's only about an inch or two taller. But his release is a little bit higher, too. So his passes aren't as susceptible to being tipped at the line, maybe as Tyrod's are either. So if, you know, defensive ends for the Chargers decide, you know, we're going to hang here and just get our hands up because the ball is coming out so fast, I don't know that they are going to be as successful with Peterman as maybe they would have been with Tyrod.
Hey, let me ask you, we got to talk a little bit of defense here, and in particular, defensive players for the Bills. Jerry Hughes out of practice yesterday, right, with his shin and calf muscle. Do you have any updates on him or any observations of Jerry Hughes and or EJ Gaines?
Yeah, Gaines is out here. It wouldn't shock me if he goes from a limited participant yesterday to a full participant today. I fully expect him to be back in the lineup this week at his right cornerback spot. With respect to Jerry, he is participating. He looks to be a little bit limited. So we'll wait until post-practice to get the official designations on their level of participation. But Jerry looks like he's just getting back into it today.
All right, I got one more thing, and I want to – because I started the show – I talked to Donald at the start of the show today, Chris, talking about how exhausting, quite frankly, for lack of a better word, this season has been. And now that I've thought about it a little bit more – It's a reboot almost every couple weeks for this team, you know. And think about it now, the reboot on offense that we're seeing with the new quarterback, with those weapons, that some of whom are fairly new, a week or two. It's a season unlike nothing I've ever seen here before in terms of a constant reboot every couple weeks. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, you want to talk about headline moves,
yeah,
with big names. You can make that argument. I mean,
yeah,
you
we
can
lead
go all the
league.
Way back
we
to
lead
Sammy
the league
Watkins.
In that.
Yeah. Right.
Sammy Watkins, Ronald Darby, even the Anquan Boldin retirement, which wasn't necessarily a coaching staff move, but that sudden retirement, and then you've got the Marcell Dareus trade, and now you've got the quarterback change. So, yeah, there have been some seismic-type decisions that have been made, and is it done with the express purpose of shaking this team into a greater sense of focus? I don't think it's that. But I do think it does keep players on this roster minding their P's and Q's, because if you can jettison a player the caliber of Watkins or Darby, if you can get rid of a high-priced player who's not delivering on the field in Marcell Dareus, or you can bench a captain who plays quarterback, you're going to be on the ball with everything you've got to do for this football team.
Hey, Chris, one last question. I know you got to get out of there. DeAndre Coleman, what do we expect out of him this week?
Yeah, I was trying to discern, you know, where he might fit in terms of playing time this week. I'm still wondering if he's going to be up and active, knowing he hasn't been in the fold the last few weeks. He hasn't been here since the end of September. So you wonder if there's a ramp-up process there this week. But if he is active, I would expect him to be rotated in on the early rundowns. I think it's a wait and see, though, right now.
All right, Chris Brown, thank you very much. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, joining us from inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. A very special edition of Chris Brown today. We went a long time with Chris. I don't
we
know,
did.
I don't know why he hasn't been thrown out of there yet. Typically, they blow the air horn and Brownie's out.
You know, Chris he's on the next level now. You know, he has that trust of the coach and the organization. He can stay out there all practice.
Not. Well, our cameras won't, I'll tell you that. But thanks to Chris Brown for joining us. We got a lot to talk about, obviously, a lot of it dealing with the quarterback. Our Twitter poll deals with that. We're going to get into a couple of issues in the next segment about, you know, what does it all mean? We're still sorting through what does it all mean. But there was one comment made by Sean McDermott yesterday, which really resonated. We played it yesterday. I want you to hear a shorter version of it today. And he was asked about the message sent to his locker room. And it's, again, the eternal short-term gain, long-term game issues, which certainly the Nathan Peterman move can be framed in both ways. And we've talked about that. You know, it's a better fit, you think. We'll get into that. Some people think it's a nod to the future. Let's see what this guy has. Sean McDermott, his thinking on this is pretty simple about motivation for the move. And he said, you know, going with a rookie over a veteran with a team that is in a wild card spot right now, with a team that has 5 wins and 4 losses, I think he understands that people would have questions about that. And here's what the head coach had to say about that.
We are 5-4. I understand that. And we are in the playoff hunt at this point. It is always and will forever, for the time that I'm here, will be about becoming the best team that we can possibly become. And we are made for more than 5-4, and I've come here to be more than 5-4.
There's a lot there, Donald. There's a lot there about, you know, his belief in where he is headed. Certainly he's empowered to make long-term decisions like this, but I thought about it a lot. You know, some people disagreed yesterday that it was a gutsy move. I think it's a hell of a gutsy move to make a switch that he could have muddled through with Tyrod. Yes, the highs and the lows. Was he getting worse? I don't think so. I think Tyrod was pretty much on the path that he's been for 2.5 years.
That's the issue.
Yeah. It's not a good path.
Right.
It's not a long-term sustained path. So I give McDermott credit for making a pretty gutsy move.
It's definitely a gutsy move, you know, and to go to a fifth-round rookie quarterback right now while your team is still sitting in the playoffs. That's why I said, look, this was my decision, but he had to talk to Brandon about this. He probably had to go all the way up the ladder, you know,
yeah.
and talk to the Pegulas about this as well, because you are sitting in the sixth and final playoff spot right now, you know, and you have 7 games left, all AFC opponents. You have, 4 divisional games left. This is a big must-win game for this team coming up out in Los Angeles this weekend. It's a gutsy move to now change and go to a rookie quarterback, especially playing a defensive line that has 29 sacks on the season already, right? A defensive line, that is their team. Their defensive front is their team. So to go to a rookie quarterback that's a gutsy move, you know. But I think he's just looking at it and saying, looking at this offense over the really all year, and saying we're not consistently good enough to get it done. We're not consistently able to put points on the board. You've lost games where you score 3 points. You might score 10 points or something. That can't get it done in this league. You can't call on your defense that much. The best defenses in the world will wear down on you. And so because of that, because the offense wasn't functional, we got to make this move.
It's interesting. There's a lot going on with this move. We're going to talk about it when we return. We'll talk about it with you. You can weigh in our Twitter poll. What's the biggest effect of the Bills quarterback change? Does it provide a more functional offense immediately this week and the rest of the season? Does it enhance their chances of making the playoffs this year? Is it a good move because they get a long-term look at Nathan Peterman? Is there something else? Give us a call. We'll talk about it. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by NEPA Auto Parts. On Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Just getting rolling on a Thursday, a bleak, cold, cloudy Thursday. Not much sunshine here in Orchard Park today. This is when they separate the men from the boys here, Donald. This kind of weather.
Do you mean like just in general or on the field?
No, I mean in general. I mean, you know, people getting up and going to work on a day like this when it's dark and you're like, oh.
Yeah,
we all had that, right?
I'm telling you. I woke up this morning and it was like, and I wake up and go to the gym in the morning and it's still dark out, you know, which is tough to
okay.
do. Yeah. But it's cold and then it's raining.
And it never got light.
Right, you know.
I mean, like, I kept waiting. Please just give me a little sliver of sunshine. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
That's okay. All right. Is Nathan Peterman a sliver of sunshine for the Bills? That's essentially what we're talking about today. What will be the Peterman effect? We want to hear from you. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Take a call here from Mike in Rochester. Mike, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Okay.
I think Peterman is probably what Buffalo needs right now. Tyrod is a good quarterback in his own right, but he has sparks and then he's inconsistent. If you look at Peterman last week in the one drive that he had, he was throwing the ball like Kelvin Benjamin on a simple curl route before Benjamin even turned around. Whereas all season long, Tyrod's been inconsistent and late in his passes, so he's been overthrown or underthrown.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going to take a close – I mean, I'm hesitant to put too much stock in the performance in the fourth quarter against the Saints because of the game situation and the defense that he was looking at. However – you are going to look at some aspects of that coming up at 1:30, right, Donald?
Yeah,
and kind of take us through that.
I'm going to look at some aspects of the defense. Now, the crazy thing is you would think that they were playing a little bit softer, but they weren't in prevent. Like, when you really go back and watch the film, they weren't in prevent. There were a couple times they actually blitzed him,
yeah.
You know, and he was getting the ball out of his hands, you know. So it's still good film to watch. We don't have anything today. We're not talking about the Baltimore game from back in the preseason. We're just going to talk about the Saints game because he had a couple of passes to Kelvin Benjamin that I want to talk about. He had some other passes that I want to talk about as well. So, you know, you can't put too much stock into that game. And to be honest with you right now, all we know is that he gets the ball out of his hands. You know, we know that he's accurate, but he's also had some passes that are way off the mark. You know, he had a pass to Nick O'Leary that was off the mark. I don't know if it was Nick O'Leary's fault or if that was Nathan Peterman's fault, but these are the things that you're going to have with a rookie quarterback. He doesn't have the rapport with the starters like Tyrod did, right? So there was a pass over the middle, and we're not talking about this play later on, but there was a pass over the middle to Nick O'Leary, and Nick O'Leary was coming across, and he stopped, and Peterman threw it like Nick O'Leary was supposed to keep on going, you know? Mm-hmm. And those are the things that we're talking about. Those are the things that can get interceptions throughout the course of a game. Those are the things that we have to watch out for because they don't have the same rapport. All they're going to have, he with the starters, is 1 week to try to get everything corrected. And he doesn't know these receivers as well as Tyrod did. Right. He's a different quarterback and getting the ball out of his hands, but there's still timing and everything that goes into this that he doesn't necessarily have with these guys.
Here's a call from Jim in Amherst. Hello, Jim. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, what's wrong?
Good.
Okay. Just give me a second. Let me get it off speakerphone.
Yeah, please.
All right. I guess I was up late last night wondering about the Bills like you, Murph.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
You know, a little bit of syndrome of Nathan Peterman. And the one thing that stood out is on his highlight tape, he was swinging it with tons of pressure in his face. A lot of blitzes, five and six men, you know, and he got rid of it. And in a lot of those instances, you see Tyrod tuck the ball, take a sack, you know, but he doesn't get rid of it. I do like how Peterman gets rid of it, but, you know, in the NFL, those type of plays can turn an interception. And I know they're going to dial up the pressure on him, that line is getting a lot of sacks. So he will be under a lot of pressure, but the thing is he does get rid of the ball, so we'll see, you know, how that turns out. But, you know, it's a double-edged sword. But 57 yards last week for Tyrod, you know, I'll take a couple picks if we're trying to do something. You know, we have that type of game again, so.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, 57 yards, that sounds like high school or Pop Warner. it really does. You know, you can't have – that's not an NFL offense. That's not an NFL passing game. They're not running an NFL running game right now. Like, they couldn't get anything going. And I'm going to continue to say this. We don't know. Everybody's excited about Peterman, you know, and we're excited about it because of some of the sample size that we've seen of what he can do, some of the passes that he's made. But you got to understand that you're going to have to live with some interceptions. You know what happens when quarterbacks get the ball out of their hands? When they three-step drop, hitch, throw it. Receivers, obviously, it's all timing. But DBs jump those routes. And you get pick sixes a lot when quarterbacks are getting the ball out of their hands. When you have the better DBs, the ones that are very confident in what they're doing, they will jump those routes and they will take that ball all the way to the house because they know that ball, in your mind, you're taught to get that ball out of your hands. So they don't have to hesitate as much. And then it's on you as a quarterback to pump fake a guy and then take him up the field. But it might take an interception or two to pump fake a guy, you know, for that quarterback to back off a little bit. Because when you see Peterman drop back, as soon as he hits his last step, whatever, if it's three or five or seven, that ball is coming out of his hands. He knows where he wants to go. He's already dialed it up in his mind, read the defense, wants to go where he's going. There's a play we're going to look at where he was already on Kelvin Benjamin so fast that he had the pump fake because Kelvin Benjamin was still in his route. He was still going up the field. That's how quickly Peterman is trying to get the ball out of his hands. And when you do it like that, DBs jump those routes.
What is the Peterman effect, short-term, long-term? What do you think? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. On Twitter, we posed the question this way. What's the biggest effect of the quarterback change to Nathan Peterman? Is it going to be a more functional offense? Is it going to improve their playoff chances? Is it just to get a longer look at the rookie? Right now, 45% of you say it's a long look at Peterman is the biggest effect. 40% say more functional offense, 8% say playoff chances improve, 7% say something else. The Peterman effect. Now, one of the things about Peterman, the Peterman effect that you've pointed out, even going back to yesterday, was I think you refer to it as kind of a better fit, right? And yeah. I get that. Can you kind of summarize what you see there? And you don't have to summarize because I know what you mean. You said it yesterday. Why didn't they tailor the offense more towards Tyrod Taylor, I guess, is my question. I mean, is it always that inflexible that I just wonder what went on there as far as Rick Dennison, Sean McDermott, Tyrod.
You know, you try to do what you can do to tailor an offense around a certain player, and especially your quarterback, right? But this offense, you can't change fundamental rules. And we said that earlier when we were talking about the running game. It's hard to change fundamental rules. For Coach Rick Dennison, he's been calling this type of offense since he's been coaching in the NFL, right? And it's always been West Coast principles. And West Coast principles, it's all timing. And so he can't change his fundamental rules and his fundamental thought process. He can try to tailor different things and say, okay, we're going to go play action. But Tyrod Taylor still has to go play action and still get his eyes back on the defense, read the safeties, and get the ball out on time. That's not what he was doing, right? So it's hard for an offensive coordinator to just change everything that he knows and everything that he's been doing for so long and the fundamental rules of the offense. Tyrod Taylor is a better fit in Chan Gailey's offense. And the reason why is because Chan Gailey, his offense, the offense that we ran when I was here, his rules were you get open, I don't care how you get open, but get open.
Yeah.
And so that's why Fitz was able to drop back and sometimes stare and wait on a Stevie Johnson to run his slant routes.
Stevie took that to heart.
He took that to heart because Stevie would take a long time in his routes, but then he'd come open at some point.
Right.
You know, but Fitz was able to sit back there and wait on him. You know, this offense isn't that. This offense is three-step hitch, get the ball out. Five-step hitch, get the ball out, you know. And so it's hard for Coach Dennison to just change everything and try to tailor it for Tyrod Taylor.
We're talking about the Peterman effect. One of the effects Donald thinks is a better fit in the offense. We'll get through some more of these when we come back. The John Murphy Show is coming to you live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones, Room and Round, coming up. He'll be joining us after the top of the hour. We're going to break down some Nathan Peterman stuff next hour. Jordan Matthews is going to join us at 2 o'clock. Hope to hear from Nick Hardwick coming up at 2:30, color analyst on the Los Angeles Chargers radio network. As the weekend approaches, Donald, I'm conscious of it, I am trying hard not to say San Diego Chargers. And it's hard. It's hard.
Steve yesterday said it a few times. It's hard to do. He's so used to it being the San Diego Chargers.
Same uniform, same roster.
It's so much easier to say Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, yeah.
You know, than to say Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers is just like.
Doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit. Figuratively, physically, any of that stuff. It just doesn't fit at all.
But we're stuck with it. I mean, it's funny. Sam Farmer on the show with us, Tuesday, a couple of days ago, the LA Times writer, he offered no encouragement that that move would ever be reversed, right? No. I mean, they're targeted. They're going to be in that stadium in 2020, in that new LA stadium, even as tenants, not even as owners.
My thing is, as the owner, the Spanos, as the owners of that franchise, when you're not getting any support, in the city. And you know, you got to win to get support. But I even think if they started to win out there, they still wouldn't get the true support that the Rams are now getting because the Rams have the roots from L.A.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why would you want to be there? If you're not getting any support and nobody's coming to your games, why would you want to be there? It's going to take them a long time to build a totally new fan base. You're talking about, like, kids now that you're trying to create – fans, and it's going to take them a long time to grow up and be adults and then for them to have kids, you know, rather than to just, I don't know if they'll ever be able to go back to San Diego, but they have a fan base there. I think they need to be honest, and it's not good for the NFL. They need to move again. They need to move to another city and just start over.
Speaking of Chargers, I almost said San Diego. We're going to talk tomorrow on the show with their general manager, Tom Telesco, Western New York native, Hamburg guy, went to school right around the corner, St. Francis High School, great guy. Tom Telesco will join us at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, the GM of the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll see what he thinks about this. I remember talking to him at the Combine in Indy last February, and the move was set. They were getting ready to go, and I said, you got to move. He said, yeah, I got to take my kids out of school and move.
And move.
And he was right in the, you know, I think after the combine, he was going to put the wheels in motion for that. What a major upheaval.
You know,
what did Farmer say?
Here is
Philip Rivers.
I was just about to get to that. This dude, I understand he has a driver and some custom van or whatever he's riding in, but or party bus or whatever it is. But you're talking, that's like a good hour, 45 minute, yeah. 2 hour drive from San Diego to LA that he's doing every day. And you got to be to work at what, 8 in the morning?
Yeah.
That's tough to do.
I'm guessing he's not, as they say about many quarterbacks, not the first guy in and the last guy out.
Yeah, he might not be. But here's the thing. If Phillip Rivers has a starting 11, you know, he has like 9 kids or something like that, right? So
is it that many? It's a lot.
Yeah, he has like 8 or 9 kids. He's probably like, I can't move all of these kids.
No.
I can't move them all, so I'll just take the commute. I wonder how long he'll do that. How long he'll decide to do that. Because they're not moving right now. They're going to be there. How long is he going to play? That's the big question. He want to do that every season, every offseason, have to drive back and forth 2 hours every day? That's tough to do.
I'm just looking up and see how many kids he has. I know it's got to be here somewhere, Phillip Rivers. You know, and I'm watching him on video this week, and Donald, it seems like he's lost a little bit to me. I hate to say it because I admire him and love his career, but I think he's slowing down a little bit, slowing down. Eight children. Married to his high school sweetheart, Tiffany. 8 children.
Ooh.
Yeah,
Ryan Fitzpatrick is like trying to keep up with him. He only has a starting 5, but he's trying to keep up.
Man. All right, so the weather, by the way, I was looking that up. High 73, partly cloudy skies in Carson, California on Sunday, is if you care, right? You're not going to the game. Some of you will, but the weather won't be a factor for Nathan Peterman. What is the Peterman effect? Who does it benefit? And what do you think about that? We're going to get back to some more open phone lines. We come back, and Reuben Brown standing by to join us live, Bills, longtime Bills offensive lineman. That's coming up next, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills in practice as we speak inside the at Pro Sports Training Center. They've got the Chargers coming up Sunday, 4:05 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff. And we'll get an update on the injury list after practice today. Jerry Hughes did not practice yesterday with his shin and calf muscle. Mike Tolbert did not practice yesterday with his hamstring. Zay Jones got a full day of practice in yesterday as he recovers from an ankle injury, and indications are he might be ready to go against the Chargers. It is a 4:05 kickoff. The weather's going to be good, partly cloudy, high 73. And you can hear the game right here on our flagship, WGR Sports Radio 550, with myself and Mark Kelso. Thursday Night Football gets the NFL weekend started tonight, and it's a good one tonight. The 6-3 Tennessee Titans, the 7-2 Pittsburgh Steelers tonight, 8:25 at Heinz Field. The Titans coming off a victory last week over Cincinnati, while the Steelers won last week at Indianapolis, 8:25 kickoff tonight at Heinz Field. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott yesterday dropped his appeal of the 6-game suspension that he had for violating the league's personal conduct policy. The NFL Players Association dropped its associated lawsuit against the NFL. That means Elliott will serve out the remaining 5 games of a 6-game suspension. He will not be eligible to play again until week 16 for the Cowboys against Seattle. The AP has obtained a letter sent by the NFL to Jerry Jones' attorney accusing the Cowboys owner of conduct detrimental to the league's best interests. This is over his objection to a contract extension for Commissioner Roger Goodell. The letter accuses Jerry Jones of sabotaging the negotiations with Goodell. Jones hired an attorney to threaten to sue the NFL if the contract extension was approved by the compensation committee. And the Buffalo Sabres back in practice today, in action tomorrow night when they play at Detroit against the Red Wings. It is the Sabres' first ever game from the brand-new Little Caesars Arena. Buffalo's next home game coming up on Saturday night, 7 o'clock, when they're home against the Carolina Hurricanes. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, hour number 2 of the show. Joining us in studio for his regular Thursday appearance, happy to have longtime Bills Pro Bowl guard Reuben Brown, also co-host of Bills Tonight, 11:30 here on MSG. Yeah. Reuben, good to be with you. How are you?
Morning, day, afternoon. How's it going?
Yeah, great to have you here.
Yeah.
Your take on a Pitt guy taking over as quarterback here. What do you think?
Well, I'm always excited.
You probably should sing the Pitt fight song.
The only part I know to it is Penn State sucks.
Okay. You know, they used to pass out those buttons at Syracuse before they played Penn State.
Penn State sucks?
Yeah. Everybody would wear them.
You had to have that. I mean, that's our nemesis, Penn State. But I'm happy to see him get a shot. I think it's a good environment here in Buffalo for him to, you know, get into the NFL and make a name for himself. I mean, these opportunities don't come along often.
What? Let me tell you, there's 32 of them.
Yeah, so
starting quarterbacks.
He's got to go. He's got to do what he's got to do to be successful and to, you know, put some good film out there. I'm obviously a Pitt guy, so yeah, we want to see all of our former alumni and athletes do well, you know, and perform. That makes our school look well. But for him right now, it has to be an amount of confidence mm-hmm. that the coaching staff has in him that they feel that he's going to add something
right.
that's not there currently on this team. So, you know, and I think Peterman, just like Tyrod, I mean, Tyrod's a competent NFL quarterback. I think Peterman shows all the qualities that he'll be a competent NFL quarterback.
When you were now being a former Pitt Panther, I'm sure you went to a couple of the games.
Oh, yeah, I've seen quite a bit with him.
Yeah, so what'd you think about him in college? Did you have the thought that, man, this kid has what it takes to play at the next level?
Oh, I yelled at him quite a bit. You know, a couple of those games. And I don't know if it was the pinstripe game that I watched there
in the city.
Yeah, that was in New York. I don't know if that was his greatest game or a good game. But I've always criticized him for some of his throws and timing as a fan. You know, just like right here, you might see some of the highlights. You know, when the guys are wide open, you know, he can make all of those pro NFL throws. But the NFL is a little different in, you know, the window's tighter, the time is shorter than what you get at college and practice in right. pros. So now the real game time speed will be out there, and we'll see what he can do.
Sound like you're, I'm not going to say on the fence, but you're not committed to this guy.
Peterman was not my Dan Marino in college, all right? You know,
I'll give you that.
I'm a fan of him. I'm a fan of what he did and how hard he worked to make our Pitt team successful. I'm excited to see him have success in the NFL. I think it's a tough road for him, especially coming in this particular situation. And I'm hoping, you know, him being a Pitt guy, he uses the Pitt mentality and no situation is too big. You can handle it all. So
is that really the Pitt mentality? Or
yeah,
are you making
yeah.
this up?
I instilled that in a lot of guys.
So that was your mentality.
Yeah, that was no situation is too big for us. Alex Van Pelt was like, are you ready today? I would say, I'm born ready. You know, so he should be ready for this opportunity. But it's going to be, you know, the work with the offensive coordinator and their game planning that's going to – the only thing that's going to really give him a foundation to work with. He really needs that support of the offensive coordinator to call the type of plays that are going to help him progress.
Ruben, were you surprised that the Bills made the decision, you know, to sit down Tyrod 9 games in? They're in the 6th spot in the AFC, you know, a wild card berth is there for now. Did that surprise you that they would switch out quarterbacks
no,
at this point?
No, I mean, because they're antsy to see some type of progress, and they're antsy to see some type of, well, I already said it, progress. They want to see some type of progress, and right now, I guess what they felt, obviously, that they weren't improving with Tyrod at the helm. You know, they knew what Tyrod could give them, but they obviously are looking for more than what Tyrod's doing right now. So I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. I would say this. If the Bills' defense was playing better, Tyrod probably wouldn't lose his job.
You know, yeah. we talked yeah. about that. If the Bills' defense was playing better, but how much of that is the fact that your offense is going 3-and-out every series?
Well, I could play devil's advocate to that because I had a lot of situations where Jim Kelly times, all right? Mm-hmm. We had a lot of 3-and-outs with the no-huddle. Mm-hmm. The no-huddle is when it's not run well, that means you're 3-and-out. And I know Bruce and those guys did not like that.
They're like, y'all better get back out there and go to work.
Are we supposed to do all the work today?
Yeah.
So
the offense ain't show up today.
it has to be a balance, and the coaches know that. And I think sometimes if you're a fan, you lose sight of the balance that a team has to have, special teams, defense and offense. And you think of all the great players that you have, but just imagine if your defensive player is playing great and your offensive player is playing great, your special teams player is playing great, then you're called the New England Patriots. All right. So, I mean, you have to, you know, you're just as much as Tyrod wasn't getting them three, defense still got to keep giving it back to him.
Yeah.
Keep feeding it to him so they can find that rhythm. Because, Donald, you know, offense is rhythm.
It's all rhythm.
It's all rhythm. And it's really a science that people can't necessarily put your finger on. You got to live inside of it to be able to understand how it works and how to get it rolling. And it's easier to forget how to keep it going we got it going. How did we do it? It's just work. Mm-hmm. We just kept working at it, working at it. And it was not working, but we just kept working at it. And we found the rhythm. But you have to find the rhythm on offense.
Here's a question I have for you, and I was telling Murph I wanted to talk to you about this. And you're talking about rhythm. For offensive linemen, how much easier or harder is it to block for a Nathan Peterman over a Tyrod Taylor?
Well, it's not. It shouldn't be difficult. You know, we can compare this to my days with Rob Johnson's Doug Flutie. Everyone was like, oh, don't you like, you know, this one more than the next one? No, I like the guys that do the job the way it's supposed to be done. If you're a five-step drop guy, you drop back there, five-step drops, and throw the ball. If you need more time, if you have to elude or step out of the pocket to get rid of the ball, fine. That's totally fine by me as offensive lineman. Just do your job. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like to scramble a lot, fine. I can work with that. But if we have a three-step drop, drop three steps, get rid of the ball, or be gone in three steps, you know, opposed to get back there, then decide, oh, it doesn't look too good. I'm like, well, you're running out of time, you know. So
you literally were like, yeah, you're running out of time.
Hey, you better throw it.
I can hear that.
He was like looking back at him.
You know, because the tackles count those steps. Like, for example, a tackle, if you got a seven-step drop, and the quarterback drops nine steps, well, somebody's getting sacked. Or if you drop seven steps and you decide to hold on the ball for 5 seconds and not move,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Then
you're getting sacked. But if you're a guy that gets back there, 5 seconds comes, and you're not throwing, you've moved the pocket and made it hard for the defenders to come and tackle you, all right, I'm fine with that as an offensive lineman. I don't care if he's a scrambler or a pocket passer. Just do what you're supposed to do on the time that you're supposed to do it.
You know, Reuben Brown is with us, a longtime Bills Pro Bowl guard. And Thurman was here yesterday. We were talking about, you know, I guess I brought it up with Thurman, right, Donald? The last time there was a change like this at quarterback, and you were here for the major Flutie-Johnson debate. Yeah. This feels different. And
it's different.
Yeah, Thurman kind of alluded to it. The Flutie-Johnson thing sort of, I don't want to say divided the team, but Flutie was difficult.
He was difficult. Because he was all about getting on that field. Yeah. He was going to claw somebody's eyes out to get on that field, I'm telling you. And myself and Eric Moles loved it. We totally loved it.
Loved what?
We loved his attitude.
Okay.
The attitude that everyone else didn't like about Doug, we liked it.
Really?
It was fun for us to watch him because he was feisty little guy that basically should have given up. basically, if you you bring in Rob Johnson and he's the backup, and you're supposed to just sit there, carry the clipboard, but this guy is contemplating the demise of the starting quarterback, so he can be the champion, you know? So who doesn't love that drama? You know, I love that. I could deal with it, but I don't know that the management and other players could handle the pressure of the public asking, hey, do you like Rob? Do you like – I don't care. I like both of them. Yeah. Let's win.
I never heard you say that.
I totally enjoyed his side. And then you could talk to a lot of the media people that knew Doug a little bit intimately. He had a prickly side. You
there
know,
was an L in that word.
I'm being nice here. But I loved it. I loved it. Eric Moles loved it. But the people that love Rob Johnson didn't like it so much because he was always going to show Rob up.
Yeah.
You know? And for me, I'm like, hey, he's showing you up. You step up now.
Now, I understand that Flutie was a lot smaller, but talent-wise, who had more talent? Who was a better quarterback?
Ooh.
You really got to think about it that way.
I'm going to put it like this. Rob had the better talent.
Yeah.
The physical talent.
Right.
But Doug was a better quarterback just because he was going to use everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was going to throw the ball behind his back if he could. He would do anything. I mean, you name it. And if you're a football player, Donald, you know, that's fun to see another player just, I'm going to give it everything I got. You know,
especially out of the quarterback position.
Yeah,
the quarterback, because he is the leader of the team.
And
I think that's why the Chargers forever, those players have loved Phillip Rivers.
Oh,
he's the type of guy that's like, I'll fight the rest for you.
Yeah,
you know, like he is that type of guy,
that.
And you love when your teammates are like that. And we talk about it all the time. It's one thing to have good character guys on your team. It's another thing to have true dogs out there on the field.
Oh,
guys
that's
that
comfort
will
zone.
Do anything to win,
yep.
You know, like the Jordans, the Kobe's of the world. I'm not out here. I want to be a good teammate, but I'm out here to win. So everybody do your job, and I'm going to do my job.
Yeah,
but we're here
Doug.
To win, you know. And so that's what it sounds like, Doug.
He wasn't going to win you over too much. He'll put on a good front to be nice and everything, but you know he was going to cut your throat to get on that field. And I loved it. That's just you want to play with guys that are that serious about getting out there and proving themselves.
That's cool. I've never heard that from you and heard it from anybody, really.
Yeah, totally. So, I know what everybody's implying when they ask me the questions and what they're trying to get. Not you, because you were there. You got the experience.
And the point, yesterday, different, a lot different than 18 years ago that. I mean,
way different.
That was ugly almost.
It's just funny because as you talk about his mentality, as you talk about Doug's mentality, and then you went out to Chicago and play with Jay Cutler, and it was just like, this dude doesn't care.
That was totally different.
And he had all the talent in the world.
I hate to see guys like that. There was a couple other players that I saw like that. But right here in this particular situation, the management stepping up and making the best type of transition that they can at the best time. In the past, they did no help with the transition. They kind of just let the fandom flag fly, you know, with attacking the decisions and everything. It seems this decision is a unified decision from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, we all sit here, we watch what's transpired with them, and it kind of was bubbling underneath the surface. How much longer? What are they going to do at the quarterback position? We've been saying, what are they going to do at the quarterback position since Jim?
Right.
You know, and we're going to continue that until someone steps up and performs as close to him as possible.
Let me ask you this, Ruben, on this particular change. You did the show with Mike Catalana Sunday, post-game, Bills Tonight. 11:30 it airs on MSG. I'm sorry I did not see it. Did you guys discuss the quarterback change in that show? Did you
no,
see that in the cards?
We definitely discussed it off air. I told Mike, I said, it's done. And Mike was like, well,
you
maybe.
Thought they were going to make a move?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
As soon as he went into that game, fourth quarter, Come on, man. I've been around too much football. You don't put your quarterback with a C on his chest, pull him out of the game in the fourth quarter. Who on earth? Go back and do the Monday morning quarterback right now. Your quarterback has a C on his chest, and you hadn't played that well, and you pull him out of the game for no apparent reason. He didn't trip and stub his toe. He didn't have a sprain. It wasn't a blowout.
I was a blowout. Come on.
No, I mean them blowing someone out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the only reason. Why would you send in a young, inexperienced quarterback into a dogfight where your starting guy is getting murdered? And you're going to send in your backup guy to get murdered, possibly get murdered and hurt, unless you're saying, this is the guy. Hands down, I would have read that. If I was on the field that day, I would have looked at Tyrod and be like, hey, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I would have said that day. Because when I saw them put him in, I said, it's a wrap. We don't even have to discuss it anymore. And you see – You We're know, not discuss
the rule is it doesn't count if you don't say it on the air.
Yeah, I know.
No, but I'm gonna tell you this, Rube. Some of the things that I said. No,
yeah.
I'm just
playing. Yeah, right. Don't get me started with that.
We did that. We did it.
I usually mean the things I say.
That's not how it goes.
You wrote that down.
I wrote it down.
Look,
I posted it on the
most of the things I say. I said.
Here, you read it.
Most of the things I said. I usually said them. That's the truth.
Yeah, that is the truth.
Look, see, that is the truth. You gotta be a different person to understand that, bro.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, we are.
Reuben Brown is in studio with us. Let's work in a couple of phone calls here. Brian in East Aurora. Hello, Brian. Welcome. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I think Peterman will just bring a little more hubris to the game. I think it's more than just confidence. Yeah. It's just that. It's something extra. You know, you were talking about Doug Flutie, and, you know, here's that short guy, and he just go out there and run that game with everything stacked against him. And, you know, you see the better quarterbacks in the league, like Drew Brees on Sunday. He just went out there, and you could see it in his eyes. He just has that fire to go out there, and I'm going to score.
Sounds like Brian wants to use the magic word there, Donald. Swagger.
Look, man, you got to play with some swag out there. You got to play with some swag out there. You know, and I think that's what Doug Flutie brought.
Yeah.
That's what Phillip Rivers brings to that team. That's what certain players like a Marshawn Lynch, they change the mentality of the guys. Look, talent on the field is one thing, and you making plays, all of that stuff, that's one thing. But the way you go about it and the way you carry yourself, that can change the whole mentality of your team, especially if you're doing it from the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady, to be honest with you, he's a cool dude, one of the squarest dudes you ever meet. But when he's on the field, you see him, like, going crazy. And they love that stuff. His teammates love that stuff. So it's really how you go about it. You look good. You feel good. You play good. You know, and all of that stuff matters.
Yeah.
All that stuff equals –
swag.
Yeah.
Swag. Yeah.
And having some swag might equal some wins.
Yeah, you got it. At the quarterback position, you have to have a high level of fearlessness. I mean, Brett Favre, throw three interceptions and keep throwing. You know what I mean? I mean, it got to be almost unconscious. We talk about Jim Kelly. You know, he was like a linebacker at quarterback. Just a toughness that, you know, you're going to fit it in. You're going to figure it out. You're going to get over whatever comes your way. If the receiver's not open, I'm going to throw it to where he can catch it. And
especially when he's 6'6".
Yeah, that's – you have to have like a gunslinger almost, you know, cold-blooded mentality at quarterback, because so many things can get you off your game that you kind of got to have blinders on.
You know, like I told Murph – earlier, you know, my uncle always said, scared money don't make money. I tell my son all the time. My son's playing basketball now, right? And look, I'm his father, so I'm gonna say this. He truly is the best one on the team, all right? But there are times where he'll come down and pass the ball. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I want you to pass it. I want you to share with everybody. But if you got the shot, take the shot. Don't be scared, you know. If you're a quarterback, throw the ball. You know, the best shooters in the world, they'll have a cold night. Steph Curry will have a cold night and still shoot that mug 50 times. Well, he don't have to because he has other players. But, yeah, they're going to shoot. They're going to keep – shooters keep shooting until you get hot.
I was just going to say, you know, my buddy coaches college basketball in Michigan. And post-game interview the other night, Monday, Tuesday night, somebody said so-and-so shot wasn't dropping. He goes, I want – 3-point shooters like him, I want him to keep shooting.
Keep shooting.
You shoot until you're
get their rhythm.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want him to shoot.
Exactly. So, quarterback, you got to make these throws. Yeah. You can't be reluctant to make certain throws in the NFL because nobody is open.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you got to fit that mug in the tight windows. You got to have, look, I don't care what y'all say about my arm. This is how I hope Peterman thinks. I don't care if y'all think I got a weak arm. Watch me make these throws.
Yeah.
Hey, Ruben, we've got an offensive line call here regarding the Bills. Jeff in Jamestown. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the air with us.
Good day to you, gentlemen. I got things I'd like to discuss with you about the Bills offense. Peterman, I'm not sure if you know about this, but he's the best quarterback in the college under pressure, and he was the only quarterback that came out this year predominantly under center. Hmm. And I think he's going to be their four-leaf clover to the promised land, to the pot of gold. And finally, I'd like to talk about the offensive line. Reuben Brown could probably discuss this the best. Why is Mr. Vlad Dukas still playing at guard when we have Mr. Miller and we have Mr. Groy, who are far better pass blockers? I'll see you on the phone and let me hear what you have to say. Yeah. Thank you.
No, he has that accent like one of our buddies out from pro football.
Irish,
Scottish, one of those.
Yeah, have you been watching that Dukas Miller? I mean, it's kind of a done deal now. Dukas is the guy, Ruben.
Yeah. You know, I get frustrated with the choices with offensive line. I've never been happy with their evaluation and also reluctance to really put the guys in a place to succeed. You know, I'm say that all the way across the board, all the way back to when we lost Jason Peters. That's a long time, ain't it?
Yeah.
And I'm saying overall, since that period of time till now, the decisions that creating a sustainable offensive line have just been misguided. Because I think so often you think, well, this is my favorite guy. I'm just going to plug him in. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just going to call plays. And they play the position. They should block it. I'm going to throw in the Dallas-Atlanta game. Mm-hmm. All right? You see how embarrassing that was for the Dallas offensive line who said that they were probably one of the best. When you don't support your line, they can be individually broken down and diced up and cause you a lot of problems.
How do you support the offensive line?
Well, listen, you start by using a lot of double teams, all right? Even in zone blocking, which they came in and said that they're doing, you can use a lot of double teams. That's a basis to get any young players or undeveloped players to get them their feet underneath them. And also in the running game and passing game, you never leave any of those guys alone. And you always have a filter. And I'm getting a little technical right now about how the play of the line can be improved and the reasons why some of these guys aren't developing as soon or as well as we would like. I mean, because look at the size on these humans. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're pretty big humans. And I can't imagine any of them aren't strong. And I can't imagine any of them couldn't block or move any lineman out of a hole in the NFL. One-on-one, that's when you get run into trouble. Guy could slip off you. You don't have the technique or the talent. But if you double them up, now you at least got two double teams, maybe three when you got a tight end across the board. Now everyone, that's a serious football game. If you're putting that type of pressure with the size guys that we have on the opposing defense, no matter how good they are, no matter how well they can run around, well, now we're doubling them all the time. We're always giving those young, undeveloped linemen an opportunity for help. So when we do ask them the once or twice in the game to face a guy one-on-one, it's not traumatic. Yeah. And if it break down, hey, we're coming back with some stuff that's going to help you. And once they get that confidence, you can take any undeveloped player. You give them confidence, and it's, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. But if you want to coach them like they're on a piece of paper, and well, he says he can jump the vertical really high, and he's really fast, and he can lift a lot of weights. Well, you know, put him out there in front of Kyle Williams, and mm-hmm. Kyle alone is going. You're going to have trouble. Kyle goes to games, and they know they're going to triple team him. Mm-hmm. We go into games, and oh well, the cops could block him. What, you crazy? What are you thinking? They're doubling our guys. Why aren't we doubling them? Mm-hmm. I mean, watch the New Orleans game. The New Orleans basically took the old playbook that the Bills used to run with McCoy and added that day.
Hey, Ruben, when you come in and leave your hat on the desk and wear your coat, I feel like you're in a hurry to get out of here.
No.
Seriously. It's like, let me get
this over. Isn't that weird?
I got places to be.
Isn't that weird?
I'm always cold in Buffalo.
Okay.
I'm always cold. Everyone always says that. Why are you all bundled up? I'm at the age now. I'm just cold. I'm always cold. And listen, when I played, yeah, I was practically naked on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I only had a jock strap and a T-shirt and some pads on.
Some tights.
You know, that's it. And now I can't even wake up without my fuzzy slippers, my big sweater.
You walk in the roof house, you got on a onesie.
Yeah, I got a flannel onesie with the drop back.
Yeah. You got a tail, like bunny rabbit ears.
I mean, it's just now. I'm just that way.
All right. Well, thanks for coming by. I hope you can warm up.
I know. Eventually. I usually get it by 6 o'clock. I'll be warm.
Thanks, Ruben. Ruben Brown makes his weekly visit with us, joining us in studio. The Bills wrapping up practice. We're going to hear from Jordan Matthews in a couple of minutes. But come on back. We've got a lot more ground to cover. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones coming to you live from One Bills Drive on this cold, cloudy day in OP. Bills just wrapping up practice inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. We're going to get Jordan Matthews in here in the next couple of minutes or so. Talk with him about the quarterback change. We're talking with you about the quarterback change. And our Twitter poll today deals with the quarterback change and the Peterman effect. And we want to know from you, what is the biggest effect? Not the only effect, because it is a wide-ranging and all-encompassing move, a pretty big move, clearly, to change your starting quarterback. But on Twitter, the Twitter poll is, what is the biggest effect of the Bills' quarterback change to Nate Peterman? What do you think it is? 46% of you say it gives the Bills a chance to take a long look at Nathan Peterman. 40% say it creates a more functional offense for the Buffalo Bills. 7% say the Bills enhance their playoff chances. 7% have something else in mind. What do you think is their biggest effect of the Peterman move, the Peterman effect? What do you think? 46%, that's not a majority, Donald, but I don't think they made this move because they were dying to see what the rookie quarterback looks like. I don't think that's the biggest thing. To me, it's an added benefit. It's a little extra that you get from this.
Yeah, look, and moves can, like this, you know, this is why sometimes you get teams that make moves like this. You need a spark to your team. That's what it is at the end of the day. You need a spark to your team. This kid has shown us enough back in the preseason, all throughout the season to this point in practice, and in the last game, he's shown us enough to have enough confidence to say, look, this kid can go in here and possibly give us a spark plug. That's all they need. They got a car that, well, this is, you know, back in the day, you got a car that is now acting up, and you need a new spark plug. And that's what it is. You try to jumpstart this thing, and that's what they're trying to do.
Well, as part of the Peterman effect, and we've talked about it now for over a day, about the ball coming out on time, you can see it. You watch the games, you've seen the Bills in preseason, you watch even the Saints game, as dreadful as that was last Sunday, you can see the ball coming out on time, a little bit earlier than it has been. Clearly, that's a big part of the Peterman effect. Donald has taken a deeper look at some of these plays, and we're going to have a special Thursday edition of Nuts and Bolts presented by Napa Auto Parts as Donald Jones takes a deep dive into some of the issues here. Typically, we look ahead to the opponents on Thursdays, but this Peterman move is so fresh. We want to look at this, Donald, and we want to talk about what it means when we say the ball comes out early from Nathan Peterman. On time, I should say.
Well, first of all, let's just say this, and we got this stat that says in his 10 in Nathan Peterman's 10 dropbacks, he had an average of getting the ball out of his hands in 2.31 seconds. That's so
this 2.3 is in the Saints game.
Yeah, in the Saints game in 10 dropbacks. 2.31 seconds he was getting from the snap to the throw. You know, so 2.5 seconds he's getting the ball out of his hands. Notable quarterbacks that get the ball out of their hands quickly. Murph, you want to read those off?
I do. I okay. will. Phillip Rivers, 2.59 seconds. So Peterman ahead of that. Drew Brees, 2.46 seconds. Tom Brady, 2.61. Russell Wilson, 3.09. These are numbers from Pro Football Focus. But the one glaring thing is the comparison.
Only, and just to add to that, there's only one quarterback in the league that gets it out faster, and that's Derek Carr. And he's getting it out consistently at 2.21 seconds.
You compare him, Nathan Peterman, to his predecessor. That's where it stands out, too. Tyrod Taylor averaged 3.11 seconds from snap to throw, according to Pro Football Focus. And, again, Peterman, you got the small sample, just 10 throws.
Right.
But if it's 3.11 for Tyrod and 2.31 for Nathan Peterman, that's, what, 0.8 of a second faster.
And
doesn't seem
game,
like much, but that matters.
It doesn't seem like much, but let me tell you, this game is a game of inches. And that small little inch – or that extra, you know, 0.8 of a second is all they need to get that, you know, to get to the quarterback. So when you think back to when he was in and he threw the ball to Deontay Thompson, he got it out in 2.29 seconds. He threw a slant to Kelvin Benjamin that Kelvin didn't catch. He got it out in 1.66 seconds. I mean, that right there is he's getting the ball out of his hands. The it was a deep dig to Kelvin Benjamin. He got the ball out fast on time. The comeback, he got it out in 2.93 seconds. So he's getting these balls out while these receivers are still in their routes. And that's what you're talking about in terms of this is what you need in this offense. This offense is based on that type of timing. Now, the slant route that he threw in that game, he got it out in 1.66 seconds. That right there, you're getting the ball out of your hands. That's quick, you know, quick step, boom, get the ball out. But what happened on that play was, as Kelvin Benjamin came on that slant, there was, I believe it was a safety who was sitting there, and he read it, and he went to jump that route. And it didn't get caught because he got his hands up in front of Kelvin Benjamin and went off of Kelvin Benjamin's hands. That's what you have when you have a quarterback that's getting the ball out so fast. The DBs, they know that when you hit that, as soon as you go here, you're coming out with that ball, and that's when sometimes you will see interceptions. But – there was another play, the one to Deontay Thompson. He got it out in 2.29 seconds. Earlier in the game, Tyrod Taylor threw the same route to Kelvin Benjamin, and he threw it back behind him.
Right, down by the goal line.
Right, down by the goal line. He threw it back behind him. Nate Peterman had an accurate throw. He got the ball out quick and an accurate throw on the sidelines. That's the way Tyrod should have thrown that ball, and you would have had maybe a touchdown instead of a field goal type of thing, you know? So these are the things that we're talking about with Nathan Peterman. Getting the ball out of his hands is one thing. Getting the ball accurate and to the receivers is another thing. And it's all based on, to be honest with you, it's him reading the defense. All right. And Tyrod Taylor wasn't known necessarily for reading the defense. He's the type of guy that would drop back and wait for guys to come open. And this offense, like the one pass to Kelvin Benjamin, those, what did he call them, big sixes.
Yeah.
Right? The big sixes, the big in cut, 15, 20-yard in cut. He threw that ball to Kelvin Benjamin. They were playing zone. He threw that ball while Kelvin Benjamin was still running into his break. As soon as he came out of that thing, that ball was right there on him. Tyrod Taylor usually doesn't make that throw at that point. He's going to make sure that nobody is around Kelvin Benjamin, and then he'll gun that thing in there because he has an arm. But this offense is based on timing. As soon as that receiver is coming out of that break, that ball should be on his way. Yeah. And that's how Kelvin Benjamin caught it. And those are the plays where receivers can catch it and continue down the field and make big plays for you. Accurate with the ball out of his hands. As soon as I turn around, it's there. Boom, let me get up the field. That's not what Tyrod Taylor was known for. And the fact of the matter is you're going to need him to get the ball out in 2.31 seconds against this defensive front because they're getting there. If you're standing back there for 3-4 seconds, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are going to be in your face, and you're going to be on the ground.
This is part of what you say is the better fit that Peterman provides this Buffalo offense, right?
Yeah.
Because
I think
the ball's coming out.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not saying that, you know, Nathan Peterman is a better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor. I don't know that. All I'm saying is he's a better fit for the offense because of the way he plays the game. He plays the game on timing. The offense is built around timing. it will be a lot easier for Rick Dennison to call plays for Nate Peterman over Tyrod Taylor because, look, this is the route. Read the defense. All you got to do, read the defense. This is what Drew Brees is known for. He reads the defense. Okay, they rotate that way. I know I'm going this way. They rotate this way. I know I'm going this way, and I know I'm reading a linebacker. So I know I have two routes over here. What does that linebacker do? Or what does that safety do? Does he turn his back one way? Oh, I'm going the other way. And that's how you get the ball out fast. All of these quarterbacks that we're talking about, Nathan Peterman, Phillip Rivers, Derek Carr, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, they all know how to read the defense. That's why they're so great. Russell Wilson is the one guy out of all of those guys that is a scrambling quarterback, but he's gotten so much better at reading the defense and making throws. And that's what Nathan Peterman is good at doing.
Got a call here from Leonard in Buffalo, who I think is going to make a similar point. Leonard, go ahead. You're on the air with us. Hello, Leonard in Buffalo. Lost him. Let's go to John in Wheatfield. John in Wheatfield, are you there?
I sure am.
Hi, John.
Afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
All those reasons, Donald, that you just brought up are good reasons to be hopeful and enthused about Peterman and how he's going to act and react on the field. But it goes deeper than that, far deeper than that. And I'm going to disagree respectfully with you gentlemen that the most important reason to put Peterman out on the field now is to give him the opportunity to either prove or disprove himself, because we've dismantled a lot of the team, accumulated a lot of draft capital, a ton of draft capital, more than we've ever had before. They're going to take this draft capital, and they're going to either get one, two, maybe three starters, to be able to evaluate which starters you want to go after. You got to know if you got a quarterback or not. If Peterman proves out to be somebody that we think we want to go with, that's great. If he doesn't, we've got the time to pick through who's on the field in college and who's going to be available and what quarterback might we want to go over.
John, I think they have a lot of different things at play here, and I said this yesterday. I think they do have a big picture outlook on this as well. You know, as well as trying to win, as well as trying to spark their offense, they do have, they do have a big picture outlook on this thing. They are trying to figure out if Nathan Peterman is the guy. How sweet would it be for them to go in, come out of this season and saying, you know what, this kid might be the guy. This kid really might be our franchise quarterback. We don't necessarily have to just take one of these guys in the first round or do any – like
We have to cobble together a couple of picks to move
right,
up.
To move least, up or something yeah. like that. You know, we have –
we take one in the later first, second round or something.
Exactly. Yeah. We have five picks in the first three rounds now. We can afford to go ahead and take a lineman, a defensive tackle, which we're going to need because I don't know how long Kyle is going to be here. And you just let Marcell Dareus go, you know. So you're going to need defensive tackles. You need linebackers. Like, you need some guys on this team.
Yes, they do.
And so you're probably going to need – I mean, I don't know if you draft a running back that early, but you need some guys all across the board on this team. So how sweet would it be for them to come out of this thing and say, you know what, Nathan Peterman is our guy. He just took us to the playoffs. And you know, he just came in a horrible situation for a fifth-round rookie to come into – but at the same time, he did it well, and he took us to the playoffs, and now we don't have to swing for the fence.
I'm not saying that couldn't happen. It could. He's a fifth-round pick for a reason. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying is, even if he plays really well, I'd be very much open to adding another quarterback through the draft next year. I really would be. If he plays well, playoffs or not, but if he's playing well, making the kind of throws that we have seen some of, I mean, it's a very small body of evidence for Nathan Peterman so far. I still would be very much open to adding a quarterback through the draft.
See, the biggest thing is, and I would be open to adding a quarterback, but I don't think if he played so well that they would have as much pressure with their first pick in the draft to take a quarterback.
Right.
You know, like we can afford to – look, we don't really like any of these guys that everybody's talking about in the first round. We like this guy in the second round.
Yeah.
So if he falls to us in the second round, we can go ahead and take that pick, you know. And they've shown that they'll do something like that as they traded back to get Tre'Davious White. So I think, yeah, you had that whole big picture outlook on this thing. But at the end of the day, it's hard to come to work every day when you're not in the playoffs. And right now, they're in the playoffs.
You're telling me this?
Yeah, but as a player, it's hard to come into work and really get pumped up for practice and all of that
during
stuff.
During the course of a season.
Yeah, during the course of a season when you're not in the playoffs. And it's hard to come in this thing and coach these guys when you're not in the playoffs. You get excited. Like, man, this is an opportunity for us to put another one up so that we can get to the playoffs. When that's off the board, then it's like, oh, all right, we're just trying to get to the season so we can get to the offseason. Right now, they have a great opportunity in front of them for Coach McDermott in his first year to take this team 17 years out to the playoffs. Why wouldn't he want to get to the playoffs? He wouldn't just make a move like this, oh, because we want to get a look for the draft. No, he's trying to do something to spark this team, get them going right back in the right direction so we can get to the playoffs.
Again, and thanks for your call, but I do think the look at Peterman, the extra look at Peterman, which we included on our menu there for our Twitter poll, I think that's an added benefit. I don't think that was the number one reason. I think that's – oh, that's good too. We get a look at the kid.
Exactly.
Maybe he makes us better. We're going to come back. The Peterman effect. We're batting it around today as we come to you live from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
The Who? Tommy, you never heard that song?
No.
These are the bedrock staples of rock and roll. A little pinball. Yeah.
You know, rock and roll is a little bit, I just don't.
We have a producer, Thomas. Mm-hmm. And we were just singing. I was singing.
So I want you to sing
Tommy,
it now.
Can you hear me?
You know what? That's what I'm talking about. The fans don't know if they're listening to us or
me or Roger Daltrey. Yeah. Hey, we're hoping to get Jordan Matthews. He is having some extra treatment after practice today, so that may not happen, but stick with us. We've got a lot of show to come. We're talking about the Peterman effect. We have a lot more to talk about with this. And here's a call from Sean in Niagara Falls who wants to weigh in. Sean, go ahead.
Hi, Murph. Hi, Donald.
Hi.
First-time caller, long-time listener. Pleasure to talk to you gentlemen today.
You too, Sean. What up, thank you.
How's it going? I really had an off-kilter point that has nothing really to do with Peterman and the way, or Tyrod for that matter, the way he gets the ball out. My point to this is, to me, it's really simple. And one thing is, would you both not agree that we still have the same personnel on our offensive line from last year, minus Vlad Dukas and John Miller floating in and out, correct?
Correct, though.
Correct.
But now it's Vlad.
Okay. So now it's Vlad. So we both, all three of us agree we should have the same personnel, same two tight ends from last year, Clay and O'Leary, and the only thing that changed was the receivers. So if you're telling me all this offensive scheme and everything, how much better it's going to be with Peterman, I personally, on a personal note, I like them both. It doesn't matter who's in there. If you don't have a rushing offense, none of this is going to work. So you're telling me we have the same exact offensive personnel on the line, but our rush offense is in the trash now, and yet we were number one the last 2 years. If you don't have a rushing offense, I think Dennison should be a lot more variable into the running plays that he's calling and start playing to our strengths from last year. That will make Nate Peterman or Tyrod Taylor or whoever you want to throw in there make the job a lot easier on them. I'll hang up and listen to
your – Okay, thanks, Sean. You make a good point.
I get your point. I totally get your point. If they were running the same offense with the receivers that they have right now, if they were running the same offense as they were last year, maybe they would be, you know, back top 10 scoring offense in the league. Who knows? The fact of the matter is they're not running the same offense. They're running a timing-based offense now and not the power – rushing attack that they were running last year. So with that all being said, it's not working. So they got to find a person that they feel like can fit in that type of offense, and that's Nate Peterman at this point. They feel like, you know, he gives them the best opportunity at this point. He fits in the offense. He fits in this scheme. Hopefully, him, the way he can pass the ball and get the ball out of his hands, it will back these teams off in running downs from being eight in the box.
That's what I was going to say. And, you know, look, Peterman is not the the cure-all for everything that's been wrong with the Buffalo Bills the last
right.
2 weeks. He is not. You're not saying that.
I'm not saying
You're
that
You're saying
at
he's
all.
A better fit and the ball's going to come right. out on time. I'm not saying that. I'm eager to see what Nathan Peterman provides. But one of the things that I think he will provide and what a better passing offense will provide is more room for the run game. And they need that. You know, teams have stacked the box. And we've seen nine-man boxes against the Bills
yeah.
sometimes. You know, they're killing them. And I think that part of the Peterman effect, as we continue to talk about that, is to get a more viable passing game that will help the run game. I really believe that's
right.
And it's probably underrated how much it could help.
It's definitely underrated. Look, we had Ruben on the show in the past, and Ruben was saying, you know, they need to give those guys some better help. But he's also said in the past that it's hard to block against eight-man boxes
yeah.
every week, every play.
Just running uphill every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you run into a brick wall. Like yeah. It's hard to do that every single play. Now, if you have someone who can get the ball out and get it to these receivers, at least the defense has a threat of we don't know if they're going to pass it or run it. So you can still do play action and all of that stuff. Like you're not even changing your offense right now. You can still do the play action and everything because Nathan Peterman can move. He's not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning in the pocket. This kid can move. He can get out of trouble, pick up a first down for you. So he can roll out a little bit, you know. You don't have to change your offense at all. Now you just have a quarterback that is playing better in your offense. He's playing more into what you need out of your quarterback to get done so that it helps out in your running game. I think they need to pass the ball to back everybody off so that they can run the ball. And we've been saying for a long time, you got to get the running game going. That is your bread and butter. That is your bread and butter. Well, right now, no team in the league has a threat. When they look at this Bills offense, they don't feel like you can pass the ball on us. They don't feel like you're going to throw it down the field on us. None of that stuff. Maybe now Peterman can get that done for you so that you can run the ball.
The Peterman effect, what does it mean? We want to hear from you, and we will in the third and final hour of the show. You can ring us up at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can vote in our Twitter poll as well. We're going to see the Peterman effect this weekend when the Bills play the Chargers in Los Angeles. And we've got you covered on the television side on MSG for all kinds of Bills programming, pre- and post-game. We start with the Sean McDermott. And that airs 11 a.m. on MSG and on Channel 7, WKBW-TV in Buffalo, Sundays, 11 a.m. We move on with Bills All Access. Myself, Chris Brown, will join you from Los Angeles, where the Bills play the Chargers this week. That's 11:30 a.m. Sundays on MSG. And then Ruben and Mike Catalano wrap it up Sunday nights, 11:30 on MSG for Bills Tonight, a look back at the Bills game. Every weekend, that's the lineup. We got you covered on MSG and on Channel 7 on the video side for the Bills weekend coming up. Got more to come. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills are just off the practice field here at One Bills Drive today. They've got the Los Angeles Chargers coming up. 4:05 kickoff on Sunday from L.A. The Bills are going to issue their injury report later on today. Hopefully more good news on Zay Jones, who practiced fully yesterday and is expected to come out of today full practice as well. There's concern about Mike Tolbert, who did not practice yesterday with his hamstring injury. Jerry Hughes, no practice today with shin and calf. That'll be an update we look forward to seeing later on today. The injury report coming up in the next hour or two. As soon as we get it, we'll pass it along for the Bills game against the Chargers on Sunday. Thursday night football begins the NFL week tonight. The Tennessee Titans and the Pittsburgh Steelers, a matchup of two of the better teams in the AFC. The Titans are 6-3, led by Marcus Mariota. And, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers led by Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers with a 7-2 record. Pittsburgh coming off a win at Indianapolis last week. The Titans coming off a win against Cincinnati last week. Good game tonight, 8:25 at Heinz Field, the Titans and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott is dropping the appeal of his 6-game suspension for violating the league's personal conduct policy. The NFL Players Association says it will drop its lawsuit against the NFL as well. That means Elliott will serve out the remaining 5 games of his 6-game suspension. He will not be eligible to play again until Week 16 against the Seattle Seahawks. That's on Christmas Eve. Meantime, Jerry Jones continues to do battle with the National Football League, and the AP has obtained a letter sent by the NFL to the Cowboys owner accusing him of, quote, conduct detrimental to the league's best interests. It's all about his objection to a contract extension for Commissioner Roger Goodell. The letter accuses Jones of sabotaging the negotiations. The letter written by outside counsel for the NFL's Compensation Committee It's the latest escalation of a feud between the league and one of its most powerful owners. And the Buffalo Sabres practicing today, back in action tomorrow night at Detroit, their home Saturday night, 7 o'clock against Carolina. That is the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. We're told that Jordan Matthews' treatment will go right into meeting time, so we'll try to catch up with him some other day. That's too bad. I wanted to talk with Jordan about the Peterman effect, the Nathan Peterman effect.
Yes, it's
sounds like a spy movie or something.
It does.
The Peterman effect.
I wanted to ask you something about something else going on in the league.
Yes.
The Ezekiel Elliott case and how he's decided to just
– you know how I feel about this.
Let it go now. You know, he's decided to take his six-game suspension. Now, I mean, I understand you want to fight it, you know, but if he would have just let it go in the beginning of the season, they'd have him for – the rest of the season. Yeah. So now, seven games left in the season, you're suspended for six of them, and now you decide, I'm going to just let it go.
Right.
You're trying to make a playoff run here.
Yeah, you're right. They misjudged, probably.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing, and I think of our buddy Andrew Brandt, who comes on the show, when it comes to appeals in the courts of and it's usually about these issues, these punishment issues, the NFL always wins. It won with Tom Brady. And the issue is, you know, you have the CBA that governs, you know, who issues penalties and fines and suspensions, clearly pointed out that the commissioner has the duty to do that. Courts are reluctant to interfere with that.
Yeah.
Andrew Brandt has said that over and over again. You know, the court, when you've got a jointly negotiated collective bargaining agreement that says in the area of suspensions, fines, conduct detrimental to the team, the commissioner has the authority to handle it. It's right there in black and white. So I guess my question is, same question as you, what was Ezekiel Elliott and his attorneys and, for that matter, the Cowboys thinking? I mean, there's all kinds of precedent that says you're going to lose this case.
I mean,
were they just trying to run out the clock until the season's over? I don't know.
Imagine his attorneys right now. They're just like, they just raked it in. Now you're just going to give up? All right. I mean, you still got to pay us. You know, my thing is, look, we know how a lot of players in the NFL feel about Roger Goodell, okay? But the rules or what's in the CBA is right there clear in black and white. And it's hard for you to win these battles. And you want to go ahead and spend all of this money and try to fight it and make it, you know, a public dispute and all of this stuff out in social media and in the media on TV day in, day out, week in and week out. That's fine, you know. But at the end of the day, how much are you going to hurt your team? Your team needs you now in a stretch run to try to get into the playoffs. You were trying to fight this thing, and I don't blame you for fighting. But you know, it comes a point where you know what the deal is. You know he has the authority to make these decisions. So, do I really want to fight that? Do I want to take this to all of these different courts and all of that stuff so that I can play this week? Maybe next week I'll be suspended, but I can play this week. Just go ahead, sit back, take your suspension because you're not going to be able to win this thing. Take whatever it is that he gives you and move forward because it's going to be rare that a player will win decisions like this when it's in the CBA what the deal is.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet, I don't believe. And so how much does it hamper the Cowboys? A lot, right? Moving forward, a lot.
Yeah, I think that's their star running back, their home run hitter.
Yeah.
You know, he and Dak Prescott.
Probably the most important player on the roster.
Right, exactly. You know, and you don't have that guy now. It's not that offense won't be able to function without him, but you're talking about a guy that can hit a home run for you at any time. He's a game changer. Now you don't have a game changer in a part of the season where you need your game changer. So even if they go on and win, right, and win a few games, when he gets back, which is going
to
be, what, the last game of the season?
Second
to last game of the season. He's not going to be in shape, not football shape, you know. And even if they're in the playoffs, he's not going to be ready to go in the playoffs when he could have just go ahead. He could have just let it go in the beginning of the season, and he'd be playing now with this. You know, he'll be in this thing as they try to make this stretch run.
Looks like a terrible miscalculation by the Cowboys, right?
It does. Yeah, it does.
And by Ezekiel.
And now the owner is in this dispute, you know, with Roger Goodell. And I don't know how that'll play out, but it's like, you know, he's upset that his star running back is not playing.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, that's the real reason why he's trying to fight this thing and Roger Goodell not getting his contract. Because if Roger Goodell never had suspended Ezekiel Elliott, he probably wouldn't be trying to sue the NFL and the rest of the owners because they want to go ahead and extend Roger Goodell's contract.
Terrible for the Cowboys. And to be honest, I feel awful about it. I really do.
No, I don't. No.
Don't feel bad at all. And I love the fact. How about the other owners sending a letter to Jerry Jones saying, knock it off.
Yeah.
You're interfering.
You're interfering
this
with this.
This is big, Donald. You're right. This is big because they're slapping around the Cowboys for a change.
Right. Because Jerry Jones is the most vocal. And when you think of NFL owners, Jerry Jones is the one guy that comes to your mind. He and Robert Kraft.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He and Robert Kraft are the two owners that probably are the most vocal. I don't know if they're the most influential. You can, you know, speak to that more than me. You've been around the league longer than me.
Yeah, those two.
The most influential owners. Yeah. And now you got the rest of the owners like, look, dude, you are tripping. Trying to sue us? Like, no, yeah. We're trying to get this contract done and move forward so we can all continue to make money. But you're trying to sue us because your star player is suspended.
It's a bad look when billionaires slug it out like this, isn't it, really? Because the rest of us are like, really?
Yeah, right. Can't like, what's that argument like? What's that fight like? I want to see that fight.
It's a bad, bad optic. Hey, we got our own issues here, and it deals with the quarterback change. We want to hear from you on this, our Twitter poll. What's the biggest effect of the Bills quarterback change to Nathan Peterman? Not the only effect. There's a lot, and we're going to go through some more of these as we move through the show here. But the biggest effect, what's the most important thing about the switch to Nathan Peterman? That's our Twitter poll. We'll talk about it on the phone lines at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. I feel like, and this is my fault, I feel like we didn't articulate well on Twitter what we're asking here, because still, 45%, most respondents say it gives the Bills a chance to get a long look at Peterman. I don't think that's the most important thing here. 41% say they'll have a more functional offense. I think that is certainly at the top of my list. 7% say the playoff chances improve. Maybe, maybe not. You know, 7% say something else.
You got to wonder if the people who are voting on the long look at Peterman feel like the season is over. The way the team played in the last 2 weeks, they don't have a shot at making the playoffs. I've had those tweets, you know.
Yeah.
They don't have a shot at making the playoffs. Look how they played the last 2 weeks. Maybe that's what they're thinking. They feel like the coach is thinking that way. I think that's, you know, it's not the last thing on his mind, but in the pecking order, that's not the first thing that's on his mind.
I don't think so.
He wants to win.
I think so, and he said it over and over again, and maybe people don't believe that, but yeah, I don't think that's the most important thing, but we'll entertain your thoughts on that. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's take a call from Paul in Akron, New York. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon, guys. You guys were talking earlier about Peterman getting the ball out quickly, and I think, Donald, you were saying, like, the DBs will know that sometimes and try to, like, jump the route and go for a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys see Peterman, because you probably – watch them more than me, especially you, Donald, but you probably watch a lot of college. When the good quarterbacks, like, you know, Brady, they will know, like, DBs from studying film. And when they think he's going to jump the route, like, they'll pump fake it, and then the receiver will turn and run when the DB bites on that. And then he's got, like, four steps on him, and then the long bomb is there.
Right.
Do you think that Peterman has the ability to do that? I guess that was my question.
Yeah, I think he has the ability to do that, and that's all based on what, you know, he sees on the field, but what Rick Dennison sees on the sidelines, you know. Because, look, they pay attention to stuff like this. As we talk about setting up plays and what the Saints did, setting up plays, the coaches will run, okay, we're going to run a comeback here. We want to see if the DB is going to jump it. We're going to run a slant here. Let's see if the DB jumps it, you know, because we always talk about they have scouting reports on every player on the field. And so they'll know going into this thing that, oh, this corner on the left side, he likes to jump routes by watching film, you know. So let's see if he wants to jump these routes. Let's see if he's playing like he's playing double dutch and he wants to jump those routes, then all of a sudden you get a sluggo going up the field, a slant and go, you know, or a stop and go, out and up, something like that, you know. And that's how it plays out. But it's all on what the coach sees on the sideline, what the quarterback and the wide receiver can see on the field.
I would think Nathan Peterman has seen that in college, right? He'll know enough
to
give him the pump fake. And
Nathan
go
Peterman, he's a rookie, but, you know, he's played in some pro-style offenses. He'll be able to. Now, it's hard to – that has to be a design call. You know, it's not like we're going to run this slant, and then if he jumps it, I want you to just go. It's rare that they'll call something like that because it's too much gray area there for the quarterback and the wide receiver, you know, because if we say, look, we're running a slant here. If he jumps it, I want you to go. From the wide receiver standpoint, I felt like he jumped it. From the quarterback standpoint, I didn't feel like he jumped it, so I threw it. and he ended up jumping it. The wide receiver is running a sluggo. The DB is running the other way with the ball, you know. So it's usually a design call where it's like, look, he's jumping these routes. We need to run a slant and go on him. And next thing you know, you got the completion down the field.
All right, let's take a few more phone calls as we talk about the Peterman effect. Here's Bob in Cheektowaga. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Listen, hey, Donald, I've been listening to you on the radio now since you got on here. And that little rant that you had about 15 minutes ago, did I hear the Buffalo fan coming out of you?
What rant? I don't even remember what rant.
What rant? I missed it.
When you're talking about making the playoffs and all this stuff, your voice is going up. You're getting excited. You know, you sound like one of us.
Look, man, I'm here. I played for the team. I'm here. I want the team to win. You know, it's hard to watch the team not win games. Yeah, I am a fan, to answer your question, Bob. So I'm hoping that the team goes out here and wins every week.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you a fan? Well, you played here, you know?
Yeah, I played here, and I'm here. I'm working.
People here.
I'm here working. So, I it's when you play for a team, and really it's the only team that I played for, you know, you do become a fan of that team. And really all of the teams, these guys that play for multiple teams, you know, they're a fan for those teams because they know what it's like to be in that city, what the fan base is like, you know. And when that team wins, it's like, that's what's up, man. They won. Especially when you've played here, you understand what it's like to play here in front of all of these fans and what the fan base is like here and how they love the team. You also understand that, especially if you've been in this whole drought, you know, what it's like to be a part of this drought, and you want this whole thing to end. You want to see the Bills get back to the promised land, you know, and you have guys like Thurman and Steve and those guys that played in the Super Bowls. That's why they're big fans, because they know what it was like when they were winning, and they haven't seen that, and they live here, and they want to see these fans get back to that and this organization get back to the top like that.
Here's a call from Bob in Orchard Park. Who is it? Hi, Bob.
And they live here, and they want to.
Bob, you got to turn down the radio. Speak with us.
It's weird when I hear myself.
Hello, Bob.
I'm Bob.
Can't wait, Bob. Let's go to Jack in Rochester. Hello, Jack.
Hi. You know, I think the biggest Peterman effect on Sunday is going to be a lot faster tempo to the offense. And I'd like to know from Donald whether he thinks that's beneficial to the running game as well as the passing game.
A faster tempo to the offense? I think it can be. I don't want the offense to always be up-tempo. You know, I'd rather them switch up the speeds. One series, you're going no huddle, let's get to the line and go. The next one, you know, you kind of take it back a little bit, call a play in the huddle. You know, it's just a way of keeping the defense on its toes. You remember, I think we had Lorenzo on, and he was talking about how Drew Brees and those guys get up to the line of scrimmage and they go fast, you know. And that will confuse the defense because you don't have time to sub anybody in and out. So that can help out in the run game and in the passing game.
And I think that's actually, Bob, I'm sorry, Jack, one of the things we were going to talk about on our list of the Peterman effect, and it is the run game. I think, and I've said this a couple times now, I do think that having Peterman in there and a more viable passing game will help the run game. I think McCoy will see more success because they won't be able to crowd the box as they have been doing. I'm not talking about stretching the field deep. I don't know that that's really quite what Nathan Peterman is ready to do for this team. But I do think, as Donald has pointed out a couple times, the ball's going to come out on time. They're going to have to honor the pass, and they should be able to get more room to run. I would think that's going to have an effect on that.
Right. It's going to come out on time. If he's accurate, the wide receivers are going to catch the ball, you know. And if
he's
you have an effect,
he
is accurate. Yeah. So, you know, if you have an effective passing game, it helps out in your run game.
Yeah.
And it helps you out on third down and staying on the field, you know. So when your defense comes back on the field, it helps out for me with everything, you know. We won't be talking about, well, Colton Schmidt is the only person we liked from this game. He had a great game, you know, because he just punted it away 10 times in the game and had an average of whatever, you know. We'll be talking about, man, this offense, they got rolling a little bit. They were able to score on this possession, this possession, this possession. And maybe they can score a touchdown in the first quarter. Which they haven't done yet this season.
Is there a Peterman effect? We're trying to sort through that with some of these issues. You're welcome to weigh in. How about pass protection? Tyrod racks up a lot of sacks. That was part of his resume, you know, taking sacks. Sometimes he would walk into them, run into them. Sometimes he would try to extend the play too long. We've talked at length about, you know, waiting too long to throw the ball. Can the offensive line protect Nathan Peterman, maybe in this game in particular, as part as 1A part of this question, Donald. The other is, will it be as difficult to avoid sacks with Nathan Peterman as it might have been with Tyrod Taylor?
I think because the ball is going to come out quickly, you know, he won't get sacked as much. Now, the Chargers are going to try to confuse him because he's a rookie. So they might drop some guys out. You might see Joey Bosa drop out, you know. And next thing you know, you get an interception because they know he's getting that ball out fast. So you have, yeah, you might not get sacked as much, but you might have some confusion. That might make him pull the ball down a second, like, whoa, I didn't see that. And let me get off that read and go to the next one. How quickly can he do that? The Chargers, and we talked about those stats as we were talking about how fast he gets the ball out. The Chargers are the second fastest team in the league of getting to the quarterback. They're tied for second in sacks, but they get there the second fastest in the league. You know, I'm not sure what the time is, but you're talking about dudes that get to the quarterback fast.
Yeah.
So you got to get the ball out fast. You don't have time to sit back there and wait. No, you got to get that ball out of your hands.
You know, you just said something that got me thinking about the Sunday's game in particular, and it's always, to me, instructive to think, well, what are the other guys thinking? You know, we've talked about the Peterman effect. What are the Chargers thinking? You know what I think the Chargers are probably thinking? They're thinking, rookie quarterback, first start, hasn't played much. We're gonna confuse him. We're gonna do what you just said. We're gonna show him one look and then drop back into coverage. We're gonna drop into coverage from areas that he's never seen before on tape. Right?
Right.
That is what you do with a rookie. You got to be ready for that. I mean, Nathan Peterman probably will be marginally ready for that.
Yeah,
he's gonna see stuff that he's never seen before.
He's gonna see some crazy stuff. You know, that he hasn't seen before. He didn't see it in the preseason. They're not doing this type of stuff in the preseason. And then he didn't see it in that game this past weekend against the Saints either. He's going to see some exotic stuff. Guys dropping out, blitzes from all types of crazy spots on the field, and it can confuse him.
And they got guys to do that too.
Yeah, they got talent. They have talent on that defense. Yeah. They play crazy, like all types of
– undisciplined.
Right, but they got talent, and they got some guys, and they will blitz him from all types of different spots, you know. And so because of that – who's hot this week? You know, that's a big thing. Who's hot this week? Does he know that so-and-so is hot? Now, he's a smart quarterback. He's played in a pro-style offense. But you got a lot going on at one time. This is my first start. All right. Now, I forgot that, you know, the rule was if a linebacker blitzes, so-and-so, the slot receiver over here is hot. I forgot that if a safety comes off this side, so-and-so is hot. I forgot that the rule is – it's not just one person blitzing. It's two people blitzing off of one side makes so-and-so hot. You know, it's a lot. It can be confusing. So do they dumb the offense down because he's starting now? That's another question that you have. Do they dumb it down a little bit because he's starting, or do they just run their offense and it's up to him? Look, it's not like he's starting the first game of the season. He's been in this offense. But now you're starting, and it's a lot that you're going to see out there on the field. How can he handle all that stuff?
Patrick calling from Cheektowaga with some thoughts on the Peterman effect. What do you think, Patrick?
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call there, gentlemen.
Sure.
I think overall, with the players knowing that Nathan's going to be a little more decisive, it's going to keep everyone much more involved in the game. Your offensive linemen are going to know more or less that the ball is going to come out probably on time and a lot quicker and are going to be more comfortable only like having the block for, say, like, 2 seconds as compared to, you know, with Tyrod, if you would hold the ball and run around, the offensive lineman wouldn't even know which way to block the defensive lineman because nobody ever knew where Tyrod was going to end up in the pocket and stuff like that.
Hmm.
I think overall, it's going to keep the wide receivers more involved. And with that, it'll open up the running game. And I'm real excited for what Nate's got to show us Sunday.
Okay. Thanks very much, Patrick. You know, let me be clear about this, Donald. It's an interesting change. Yesterday we went through all the reasons for the change and all the implications for the quarterback change. But let me be clear. I don't view Nathan Peterman as a panacea, like the answer to all of the Bills' problems.
Right.
And by the way, he doesn't answer too many issues on the defensive side of the ball, and they had issues. I get your point about offense staying on the field. Okay, I acknowledge that. But come on, man, 298 yards on the ground.
Right, right.
He is not the solution to all of their problems, not even the solution to all of their problems offensively.
And Nathan Peterman, and even the offense not being on the field doesn't help you tackle on defense, which they haven't been doing.
Right.
It doesn't help you get the turnovers back, you know, which they haven't been doing. It doesn't help them actually rush the passer. Like, the defense still has to do what they need to do. They have not played well in the past 2 weeks. since the Oakland game. They have not played well on defense. They've been missing tackles. Yep. They haven't gotten to the quarterback really all year. The sacks have just gone away. Takeaways have gone away. So they have to get back to playing ball like they were in the beginning of the season. If not, you know, we're not expecting Peterman to go out here and put up 40 points because you switched the quarterback. Right. No. The defense, you still got to be able to hold teams down, shut them down from scoring that many points. We'll see how they play this week.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. Speaking of this week, we've got the game. I'll be headed out west for the game, the Bills-Chargers on Sunday. Saturday, Donald has a game to broadcast, and it is the final game, our installment of Monsignor Martin High School football games. It's the championship game, Saturday, 2 o'clock, right here in Orchard Park at New Era Field. It's Canisius and Jones, the rematch. Tickets are available. You can buy tickets to the game for both Canisius and Jones. You can buy them here at the Bills ticket office from noon until halftime Saturday afternoon. But the game will be broadcast streaming live at onebuffalo.com and on Facebook Live on the New Era Field Facebook page. You got this game, Donald, your final Monsignor Martin game, and it's for the ship. It's for all the marbles.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's for all the marbles. The last time we've seen these two teams play, I don't know, what, a month and a half ago, something like that, it was a tough game for St. Joe's.
Yeah.
They were just overmatched, you know. So we'll see if, you know, they can pull it together and beat them in the championship. That would be great for them. Lose the way they did earlier in the year, come back and beat Canisius in the championship. It's going to be something to watch.
2 o'clock Saturday, you can come here and buy a ticket and watch the game in New Era Field, or you can watch it streaming live on onebuffalo.com and on New Era Field's Facebook page. Canisius Joe's for the Monsignor Martin Championship coming up Saturday afternoon. We are back in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We got a lot of time to talk about Nathan Peterman and the Nathan Peterman effect. We talked about it for another day. Tomorrow, I promise, Donald, tomorrow we got to dig into the Chargers. They're an interesting team. You hinted at it a second ago. I watched a couple of games now on video. I'll watch more tonight, at least one.
Yeah.
They are – I like the talent collection. I'm telling you, they are an undisciplined mess at times. You know how everybody
says,
well, the Chargers could have won games, the close games. You know why? Because they're out of control a little bit. Yeah, and I'm not talking about, you know, off-field stuff. I'm talking about in the course of a game, they sort of go off the rails.
And that's why they lose games the way they do, which is kind of uncharacteristic for Anthony Lynn and how you would think his team would be, because he has that military background. And when you talk to him, the dude is like, you know, he's on his stuff, Anthony Lynn. You know, so you would be like, wow, I don't expect his team to make that play. Or I don't expect his team, his safety, to run off. And what is he doing there? He's not supposed to be right there.
I know.
You know, but you have a lot of young guys on that team that just don't quite get it yet, you know. And so hopefully it continues that way this week. And then after this week, you can get all back together.
Yourself.
Yeah.
I think you're like me. I really am fond of Anthony Lynn. And he was here for a couple of years. I love the fact that he got his chance last year to be a coordinator and a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Hated the way it went down for him in that Jets game, the finale last year. But I found myself watching Chargers video this week feeling sorry for him and thinking to myself, it's hard to be a head coach in the NFL, especially if you've never done it before.
Yeah.
It really is. There's just so much going on, so many loose ends. He's got good coordinators, by the way.
I know.
Got Gus Bradley on defense and Saints former head former head coach of the Cardinals, I'm trying to say. Come on.
Is it Wisenhunt?
Yes, Ken Wisenhunt on offense. He's got coordinators, but it's just you can see there's just a lot of loose ends. They're kind of an out-of-control team in terms of the way they play, game situations mostly.
And that's why when we talk about Coach McDermott and how he pays so much attention to detail, you know, you got to be like that, you know, because if you're not like that, it you will have guys doing crazy stuff on the field.
Yeah.
Just because I forgot to tell this guy this.
Don't.
I forgot to tell watch this. I forgot to tell this guy that he's actually up this weekend.
Loose ends. It happens. You hate it when it happens, especially to a good guy like Anthony Lynn. Nick calling from North Carolina. Hello, Nick. Where in Carolina are you?
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Greensboro. What's up, Nick?
I have a quick question. Since Anthony Lynn ran with Rex Ryan all those years, how similar does an L.A. Chargers defense how similar is it, the blitz packages and everything that Rex ran? Or is it something that the Bills team and Peterman can study, go back and study a Rex defense and be ready for an Anthony Lynn defense?
No. Anthony Lynn was the offensive side of the ball, and they run a 4-3 on defense. And Rex, we all know, runs a 3-4. You know, so
this is a Gus Bradley defense.
Yeah, this is a total different defense.
And he's good, by the way. Didn't the wasn't Gus Bradley talked about coming here as coordinator?
So.
Well, yeah, it was like I think now I'm trying to remember. It was only 8 months ago. Wasn't it Anthony Lynn and Gus Bradley were sort of a package, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, they were together.
Yeah, it's only 8 months ago. So much has happened that it makes you forget that stuff.
No, but it's nothing like that. But thanks. We're talking a lot about the Peterman effect. What does he mean? Want to get your thoughts on that? Here is Aaron calling from St. Catharines, Ontario. Go ahead, Aaron. You're on the air.
Hey guys, just a couple thoughts, and I have a question for you. First off, I can't remember a season this entertaining in terms of the start that they got into. I know that they've had good starts in the past, but a start that they've got into, the trades that they've made, and the changes that they've made. I mean,
Aaron, you call it entertaining. I opened up the show today calling it exhausting because it has been. You know, there hasn't been a time when you thought, okay, this is our team, right? We're saying the same thing, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think that we're not talking about the same things, though, as years past in terms of some years we've been talking about the draft already. And I understand that we're talking about a quarterback class coming up in this draft, and we're going to be looking at quarterbacks now, and especially with the change that we just made. It just seems that we still have a good record. We still got a chance at the playoffs. We're changing the quarterback. We're making trades for great receivers. It's really keeping me in tune with the team. Instead of years past, you kind of just let go and watch other games and whatnot.
Well, that's good to know.
Second thing to talk about was I think it's a great time to make this change in terms of going up against the last ranked run defense. If we do get the run game going, look out. I mean, I think Peterman can show some talent in terms of throwing receivers open, something that Tyrod sometimes struggled with. But I look for Shady to have kind of a impact on the game. And in retrospect, it's gonna help Peterman kind of open up eyes and say, maybe this could be the guy. But my question for you guys is, now that we've made the change, I understand that we're going to stick to our offense. We're not going to change the offense totally. But does this put pressure on Dennison to potentially be more aggressive and save his job?
How do you mean aggressive, Aaron?
Maybe let Peterman throw a little bit more, maybe get away from the balanced offense, 50-50 run, 50-50 pass kind of thing?
I don't expect that at all. And I think I might have said it yesterday. They are not going to put this game on Nathan Peterman's arms. You know, like, yeah, he's gonna throw the ball. He'll probably throw it 25, maybe 30 times, right? But first of all, they need to run a lot more plays than they did last week. I feel like they only had like 45, 50 plays last
45,
week.
45, I think.
So they need to be up around 70-plus plays. He'll throw it 25, 30 times. The rest will be runs. They're not going to just put the entire game unless it gets way out of hand and you got to throw it to come back into it. Their plan with this young quarterback is to still run the ball. We need you to just – I don't even want to say manage the offense, but that might be what he's doing, managing the offense, get the ball to where we need you to get the ball to so that it helps our run game be effective. Ultimately, that's what we do. We run the ball, and that's what we've been doing. We've been number one the last couple of years in a row. We need to get back to that. We have a superstar running back. We need him to be able to get going, so we need you to just do your job. Don't try to do too much. Make some throws. If it's there, try to make the throw, but don't think that we're putting – 40, 50, you know, passes on your arm. It's just not going to happen.
John calling from Springville. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Just a couple of questions, and then I'll hang up and listen. Do you think Nathan Peterman has the arm strength to throw in Buffalo weather, or is this more of a dink-and-dunk offense? And do you think Kelvin Benjamin will benefit from a timing offense, which this seems like he's used to? Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Oh, thank you, John.
Yeah, that's a great
two good questions.
Yeah. The first one, does he have the arm strength? That's something that's yet to be seen.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing he's going out to L.A. where it's going to be 70-plus and sunny.
Cloudy.
Oh, it's going to be cloudy.
Okay. I wouldn't think that's on the list of attributes that Nathan Peterman has. Arm strength, probably not at the top.
Right.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, we talked to his former college colleague yesterday who talked about his maturity and all the off-the-field stuff, talked about his ability to make the timing throws, you know, the anticipation throws, talked about his accuracy, and he even admitted, you know, arm strength, he's not going to, you know, cut it through the wind when it's a 30-mile-an-hour wind here in Orchard Park.
Yeah, I mean, he has enough arm strength to play at this level. Yeah. Let's just say that. He can make all the throws. You're not talking about a guy that's going to throw it 70 yards down the field. All right? That's why he plays the way he does, because he doesn't have the strongest arm, so he has to be on time with everything. That's why he plays football the way he does. You know, Tyrod Taylor probably has a lot stronger arm than Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
But Nathan Peterman gets the ball out on time, so he'll make it look like, man, this dude has a cannon.
Yeah.
You know, because that ball came out. The receiver, as soon as he turned around, it was there. It was on his face, you know. But, he doesn't have the strongest arm. Another thing that Pat Bostic said yesterday, he throws spirals. And that is what is needed to be able to whip the ball through wind and weather here in Buffalo. You have to throw tight spirals, and that's something that Nathan Peterman does as well.
Here is Isaac calling from Buffalo. Hello, Isaac.
Yes. I like to say I'm a fan of the John Murphy Show. You guys do a great job. You're a great tandem.
Thank you, Isaac.
Comments, and then I'll hang up.
Okay.
Well, as far as Peterman goes, I think that McDermott made a good choice, because when you look at the team as a whole, and that's what he does, because he has a history of scouting, watching tape, doing all these things that NFL coach needs to do to understand the game and to take these notes and bring him into the Bills as his first time as a coach and pass it on to the team is outstanding, because they did great. Now, when you look at the – I'm going to bounce around a little bit, but I hope you stay with me.
Okay, we can't stay forever, Isaac, but go ahead.
Yeah, when you look at the defense and what they were doing early on in the season, how they had great success because the execution was on. It was beautiful. They were making the wrap-ups and getting the fumbles from assistants. And the guys were making plays on that. But what they forgot is that the other team is going to see that you're having success doing that, and they're going to watch that on film. So they're going to be looking out to see if you're wrapping up first, making that tackle, and then, you know, getting the bonus later by, you know, separating the guy from the ball.
Right.
They saw with the Jets that we weren't doing that.
Right.
It's copycat league. So they attacked that viciously when we play the Saints. So you can't leave that eyesore open. But what happens is, when you get a defense that loves their quarterback, those guys had a lot of camaraderie, what they're doing is they're getting away from their fundamentals to try to help Tyrod by giving him the ball back and forgetting about the basics of getting that wrap up.
Wrapping them up and tackling them. Thanks, Isaac, and thanks for your comments about the show. Yeah, again, I mentioned, I do lay awake sometimes at night and think about the Bills. It's sad, I know. One of the things I'm thinking of was that streak, you know, five games. Bills win four, lose one. They had 15 takeaways. Was that fool's gold? Was that just, like, not real? It happened.
No, it happened.
It meant something. And the bigger question is, can they get back to that? And I'm not saying three per game, but can they get back to a couple of timely takeaways per game? I hope
definitely.
So. That helps immensely.
When you're creating turnovers. We were talking about this earlier in the office. They weren't really scoring points off the turnovers,
right,
but they were stopping teams from scoring touchdowns.
Right.
You know, which,
including last Sunday, you know, on the 9-yard line, they got a takeaway.
Right, exactly, which helped out a lot. But what'd they do? I think they went 3-and-out on that one.
Yeah.
You know, they punted it right back. So you got to score points off those turnovers. Even though they weren't, you still need them. And it's hard when you're not getting them like that, you know. And that was the one thing – I remember going back to, it might have been after the Oakland game, when the turnovers dry up, can this team win games?
We talked about
that. Can they still play the same way? Can the offense drive down the field and just score points? You know, and that's something that they haven't done.
The last two games, the answer is no.
No, right, exactly. And it's hard. Like, turnovers, they do come in bunches, and then they will go dry. You know, and that it has dried out on them. So hopefully they can get out of that drought and get back to turning the ball over.
Yeah. All right, we're going to break.
Creating turnovers.
Yeah, we're going to get a break here, and we'll come back. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
Presented by Advance Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, and the preferred, and I mean preferred, alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What have we learned? We had the great Reuben Brown in studio with us earlier today on the show. His fellow alumnus from Pitt, Nathan Peterman, is the new starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, and Reuben Brown had some thoughts about that.
He's got to go. He's got to do what he's got to do to be successful and to, you know, put some good film out there. I'm obviously a Pitt guy, so, yeah, we want to see all of our former alumni and athletes do well, you know, and perform. That makes our school look well. For him right now, it has to be an amount of confidence that the coaching staff has in him that they feel that he's going to add something
right.
that's not there currently on this team.
Talked all day pretty much about Nathan Peterman and the Peterman effect, and our Twitter poll dealt with that. Let's recap that. What was the biggest effect? What is the biggest effect of the Bills quarterback change to Nathan Peterman? On Twitter, those of you who voted, fairly close, 45% say it gives the Bills a chance to get a long look at Peterman, potentially seven games. 41% say it gives the Bills a more functional offense. 7% say the playoff chances improve. 7% say something else.
You know, I got these tweets on Twitter. Two tweets. The first one says, should Benjamin wear trash cans as gloves, Peterman will feel a lot more comfortable throwing it to him. As you talk about the video that he made. I was watching that video earlier. I think the Bills like posted that earlier today. I was watching it like, man.
The trick shots.
Yeah. And then the second one is an actual question. And it says, can a young QB improve arm strength, or are you stuck with what you have? That's a good question. You can get faster as you get older. I don't know how old Peterman is. I would think
23,
he's
20, right?
No,
we're talking
23.
About
this, He hasn't even hit his real grown man strength yet, you know. So maybe he can get his arm a little bit stronger. I would think you can get stronger. There are drills and different things that quarterbacks do. But you would think he would have been doing that for a while already if his arm wasn't that strong. So that's a good question.
Yeah, not his strongest attribute, we don't think. Mm-mm. What are we talking about? You know, we've seen the guy play a part of a quarter in the NFL.
That's the crazy thing,
I know, right?
Like,
we have all these opinions and the Peterman effect. It's going to mean this, going to mean that.
He'll come out and throw it 60 yards.
Right. Woo. What are we talking about? It's going to be fun. Tomorrow we will lock into his game against the Chargers. Great guest lineup tomorrow, including Mark Kelso, Greg Cosell from ESPN, Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown, and Tom Telesco, the general manager of the Chargers, on the show tomorrow. So that'll be
looking
fun.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah, it's general manager town in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. Tomorrow at noon, we're right back here with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.